If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
All right.
Welcome to Tedious 675. Everyone who's, all the Christians, still mad about Friday's episode? You think that we're the enemies of Christ now? I am anxiously anticipating your $15,000 donations. Anyway. I'm in the studio with Mike.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Some might say that might have even just been a ploy to get a bunch of money.
Very good point, very good point.
We need funds. How do we do that? Well, if we become the enemies of Christ, Christians will just give us 15
grand.
They
will literally give us $15,000. I mean, that's how that works, right?
Yeah.
If that's not how that works, then you explain to me why not.
I'm sorry. I just had to do one more.
Well, I'm just, I think that this, it's
funny.
So, we see that the most base Christian does this, so I think it's on you. If I'm mistaken about the doctrine, it's entirely possible that I am, so just explain to me how it really works then.
Please don't.
It's like an unwritten doctrine.
Don't explain it.
We just don't even have the discussion anymore. All that we ask of a Christian is like, look, if that criticism doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. We're all pals.
Yeah, you don't have to justify to me that it doesn't apply to you. I already believe that. And I know that. There's anybody in our fan base that's happy about that.
The only time I question whether or not it reflects on you is when you start schwitzing.
Well, if you're defensive about it, there's a lot of comments
like this is not the. It's like, yes, it was the right thing to do was to call out Rick Wiles and make fun of him and make fun of anyone that's coping with. Is this our guy? It's like, no, not our guy. Anyway. We already did that.
Oh, he himself absolutely deserves criticism.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're thinking, the only question is, can you extrapolate this to an entire religion and to other people? I think that's the question, but to say whether or not he absolutely deserved criticism for that.
And certain people immediately jumped to that, and those people were Christians themselves trying to in before it. And it's like, good
the
job,
before,
guy.
The in before really set me off.
I mean, yeah, if not for the in before, we probably would have just criticized
the
act
in
before, itself.
It would have even gone in that
the thread
direction.
Would have died. It would just be a standard boring thread where, like, I don't know, Adam Stein says pagan things and they laugh at him or something. Actually, no, they don't laugh. They never laugh. They're always very mad. That's the thing.
Don't be mad. Stop being mad. Don't be mad.
I'm not mad.
Be mad at anything but Jews.
I forgot to do
the pagan versus Christian thing is the fakest and gayest and dumbest shit. Like, neither of these are like actual movements.
Yeah, if you're mad at anything other than Jews, you're just doing it wrong.
So in the course of a week, I've been told both that I've been told by one person that this whole thing with NJP and everything is going to fail because Hitler was a Reddit tier atheist just like you guys, and that's cringe. And then I was also told that Hitler was a devout Christian. Who knew better than to be critical of Christians during his rise to power?
What about the third position? What about Hitler's just God?
I mean, that's what Hitler's I do. That's Pentecostalism. Hitler is a...
I don't believe any of those things.
You don't believe that Hitler is like the true martyr? I mean, he's waiting for us in the future. You know that. He took the DeLorean. Just showing Jews, just by the million. 6 million, he does it like before Christmas.
I understand why people make Hitler into a religious figure, but he himself would have had contempt for that.
Of course he would have. That's why he deserves it the most.
Well, that's the nature of true divinity.
Just like me.
Deny itself.
Yes.
All right, but that's... But the problem is, if you make...
No, the true nature of the church is to give your enemies $15,000.
The problem is, if you make Hitler into a religious figure, then you fail to actually understand the real valid political lessons. Like, once... And typically, the people that do that are people that never read his books.
Do you know how awesome a Hitler church would be?
It would be cool, but, like, it would be also, like, really LARPy. And I don't know that it would actually... The objective here is to take back political power. That was his objective, and he actually succeeded in it. And
he did.
In one of the most successful... I mean, usually... He's probably... You know what it is? You want to know what's really funny? Probably... Like the only true grassroots revolutionary in the modern world that actually from nothing somebody who actually came from a middle class family, but then was driven into poverty himself, and then built from nothing a party and a revolution that actually took over a state. Mm. That is not the case with any of these Jewish revolutions that were all financed by big bankers and Wall Street and everything, and had all these huge establishment stuff. Like all the communists have never done this.
No.
They've always had backing from outside. They've always had backing from big money and finance elsewhere. Like I'm not saying this has happened in the past. Like if you go to the pre-modern world, but in the modern world, he's the only one that ever did it that I can think of. The Nazi Party was the only party that ever did this. And interestingly enough, therefore, the entire structure of modern politics is set up to basically prevent this from ever happening again.
Yeah. Yeah. Every system is meant to box out anybody that has different ideas.
Yeah.
Whether it's Pollard.
Back to Hitler Church. If you were driving down the road and just saw Hitler Church, I mean, I would slam on my brakes so hard. Like, oh, okay, I got to know what's going on inside Hitler Church.
Oh, I'll go check it out. But I'm saying, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But I would also say,
it would have normie appeal. Normies would be like, all right, what do they talk about in Hitler Church?
I want to address this attack that it's cringe because he was like a Reddit-tier atheist. First of all,
I just discarded that. I just brought that up because it's funny. Because it shows like that. That enemies of us will say anything to get their point over. They will say anything. Well, the
Reddit-tier atheist attack on anything, that itself is a cringe argument, calling somebody that. That's just like, I want to just discard this. Like, but that is a defense mechanism. That argument in particular is another roadblock, another way that they just try to... I understand, like, when you adopt these politics, you have to go through... a lot of dissonance. You have to work through all of the messaging and signaling and brainwashing you've gotten your entire life. This is bad. This makes you bad. These things are not what you should believe. And like I said,
stand bad.
There is, shall we say, these kinds of circles, these politically dissonant circles, an idea which I think is bad, which goes something like this. Here's something that is catching on in the mainstream. Here's something that mainstream conservatism is adopting, whether it be some movement or some particular ideology or intellectual fad or thing that they believe. I'll use one, for example, that isn't going to trigger any defense mechanisms in people that listen to this program because everybody is beyond it, but the Stop the Steal thing. Like, there were some people that thought, oh, we can somehow benefit from Stop the Steal. Like, somehow we can go in telling people Trump had the election stolen, and then we benefit politically from that because then we go out and we tell people that think that, and then they become, like, our guys. That's not going to work. All that's going to happen is you're going to become one of them. And there's a number of things how this always happens. There's a number of vehicles that people try to use for this. And I've seen it my whole time I've been involved in these dissident politics. I think people need to wrap their heads around the fact you are a dissident. There is no movement or thing or idea. Now, you might agree with something and you can say, I agree with this or that. But that doesn't mean that that's necessarily going to become a vehicle by which you're going to like convert people. The only thing that is going to convert people is the ideas themselves. The actual what we believe in telling people that. That's the only thing that's going to bring people over. You would be surprised how many people...
these very ideas that you are trying to hide and conceal so that you can infiltrate.
Are the only things...
taking away your best weapon.
Oh, yeah. That's what's actually going to bring people over. You have to just tell people that. And now, here's the thing. If your belief is literally, like, I want to put on a Hitler uniform and march around, like, that won't work, but that's not my belief either. My belief is that Hitler was a very successful revolutionary who had beliefs and ideas of how a state should be structured that I agree with and learn from, but I'm not going to put on a Hitler uniform and march around because that doesn't do anything. All right, fine, go ahead.
Well, you will whenever you decide to finally come to Hitler Church.
All right.
Those uniforms are going to be mandatory.
I was shouting cuck from the corner over here.
I heard that.
Hitler Church will be fucking lit.
You're washing mom jeans?
And here's the other thing. You can't go to a
mom jeans. Dude is like washing mom jeans.
Folding mom jeans. There's an issue with the dryer, and it's... I still...
Wait, what?
There was an issue with the dryer.
Laundry?
I'm trying to clean... There was a problem, And it's,
why
it's
is that
done
even something
now,
you know about?
Because there are my jeans that bore the brunt of the problem.
But
and I don't want to wear fucked up wrinkly ass jeans.
But isn't
what?
Isn't that someone else's job?
Yeah, but I mean, like, it got fucked up, so I stepped in.
Those jean church things where the pastor is just wearing blue jeans. It's not acceptable.
I don't know, dude. We have a man doing laundry here and folding his own clothes. I'm not sure how to react to this. I
told you there was a mechanical problem with the dryer.
Okay, all right, all right. Okay. I mean, the only time, really only excuse for
jeans.
Now, if you're in the military, that's one thing, because I know you have to be very meticulous.
There was an issue with the dryer. It appears that I've solved it.
And so now you're folding your own clothes.
Well, because...
Well, I guess you have to fold them, otherwise they,
well,
they
get... Well, she's not allowed here to do that. We're working right now. She
true,
can't do that
true,
anymore.
True, true, true. Okay. You could have Jamie do it.
Those are, I thought about doing that. I thought that would be a funny meme. Be like, Jamie, can you go over there and fold my jeans, please? But I chose not to abuse her.
It's a little weird.
It's like, she shouldn't be touching my jeans.
You should have done it to see if she would actually comply.
Technically, they're not her jeans to be worried about.
Yeah, I would have said no
to
that.
What her reaction would be if she would actually do it.
No, my reaction is I say no. Yeah. So you do that. Yeah.
There, everything is now resolved. I think everything's going to be okay.
All right. I was like,
hopefully, I don't have to buy any more.
This nigga folding jeans.
I have a really good Jamie story.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, hold on.
Okay. Right, I think we all get the point we were making.
Yeah, we get
right?
the point.
All right, everyone gets the
point. You know, we're having that nice little get-together.
Let me reiterate it three more times, just to be...
I thought you were going to recapitulate it.
Recapitulate?
Let me recapitulate to you talking while I just fold jeans.
Okay, good. Now what's your story?
Our little gathering Saturday night, we were hanging out. You know, we had the music. The music was playing, it was on shuffle. And I can't remember what song. I think it was Subdivisions by Rush came on. And Jamie turns to me and says, "Is this Yes?" And I was like, "No, it's Rush." That's really funny. "Is this Yes? No." No. I was like, I've never been happier. Than to do it. No.
Yeah.
In response to Yes.
It's good. That should be the name of a band. No. But you have to say it like that.
Yeah, right. You can never just say no. So, I liked that Jamie story. I got.
I like this idea. Jamie could have little sock puppets. She could do a kids show. I bet Shane would watch it.
Well, she just wants to do squirrel videos,
like a puppet prog band. It's like little finger.
So she'll do one. I think she does squirrel videos where she does little voices for the squirrels.
She probably already does that.
Yes,
yeah, we just don't get to watch.
She just doesn't do the. She doesn't video it, but she does it.
Oh.
Yeah,
I think she just narrates for them in IRL.
Yeah.
And then doesn't. Okay. Well, that's too bad. What a loss for all of us.
Yeah.
That magic hasn't been captured.
Yeah.
On film or audio. I mean, what else were we going to do?
I don't know. Distracted by some spurgery about how if there's this thing where if a person that's in our general sphere, in our little movement or whatever, when they have a kid, you get about 15 spurgs and immediately start squawking about how they should immediately have another kid. Why haven't you had 5 kids yet? Why haven't you had 7? Why haven't you had 10?
Nobody that's had kids does that.
Yeah. It's like, if you had kids, you would know why.
It's also like...
Isn't the answer also like, because I didn't have kids to like have forum clout?
Right. Like, if you're doing it for clout, internet clout, like, that's the only reason you want to have children. Like, you're kind of doing it for the
Actually, audience. Another one, I have a related pet peeve, because it came out during these, like, heated things that I was reading over the weekend, is like... And one that I really can't stand is when someone starts like when the discussion degrades to the pissing match of like, well, what are you doing for blah blah blah, and then someone just fights back, I'm having white babies. Like, no, you're not. You're on the forum. Shut up.
Look, all of this shit needs to stop.
I know it's never gonna stop. It's been with us the entire time. It's never gonna go away.
I just like to make fun of it once in a while.
It's never gonna stop. This is just people that use the internet do end up in these mind traps, and they express these.
Well, that's because on the internet, nobody...
Right. It's just never going to... It's just fine.
Right. Well, this is also why people should get in an IRL group, and I know that there's issues with that, but, like, we're trying to get people... What's up?
You really should not be using your family for political capital and forum clout. It should not
fine. There's that. But I want to address the other thing, which is that like these kinds of what are you doing for this, that, or the other? Don't do that to people. That makes the environment unpleasant.
That's when the discussion is not going. When the thread is not going the way you want it to go, somebody. Accusing someone. Yes. It's a total decision.
That is like the last resort.
It's a forum argument winning.
That is the last resort tactic. There's more than three people that disagree with me in this thread or something like that. And don't do that.
But speaking of the IRL group,
be a nice guy.
You should join your pool party.
Yes.
You can write into us, and we will forward you to the pool party. Okay, but there's no actual Hitler church. There are pool parties.
There are pool parties.
You can write into us to the support email and join it.
Pool parties are starting to...
To find your local Hitler church or create one.
Pool parties are starting to vet again.
They've been vetting, but yeah. It's been a little...
But they're looking to...
So if you're interested, get in there.
Yeah. And we know that there have been some of you that have requested and been left in limbo for a while. We're trying to correct that. Or there's somebody trying to correct that. It's not me.
It's me.
Oh, it's Sven.
Sort of. Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really do that much, but I would... do this. And then now they're doing that.
No.
So I can't really take credit for it. But that's going well. So you can do that.
So when you do that, trust me, you'll find that petty internet clout arguments, suddenly you see how petty and stupid they are.
Well, no, you can have them IRL, which is what
nobody has them IRL.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Those discussions never happen IRL.
I know. Oh, God. So I don't know what else we're going to do.
They literally never do. Typically, IRL, people will talk about personal stuff. They'll talk about their struggles in their daily lives and their families and shit. But everyone's just like, oh, yeah, I have a similar story, or I can relate to that, or here's something that I can help you with. But that is never – it's not acrimonious like that. Like, internet shit turns acrimonious, and I hate that. That's the thing I hate about the internet stuff. It's, like, necessary, but it also – it's such a haven for spurgery and just, like – like pissing contests and just like petty, tyrannical, megalomaniacal personal shit. And it's just like, stop being that way.
Mm.
You would never be the person, if you are that way on the internet, you would never be that person in real life. You just wouldn't.
I feel like an old man on the internet now after spending so many years debating people and getting dragged into these fucking wasters.
I used to go against people that I actually hated, though. Like people that were like politically adversarial or enemies shitty, like and I would drive them insane, and that's fun. But
it is fun.
But they actually, you know, it's amazing.
I missed that.
These social media companies basically made that impossible.
No, you can't do that anymore.
You can't troll people anymore.
You can't attack anymore.
No, it's literally possible.
If what we used to do on Facebook, like 8 years ago, we tried to do now. It might have been like 10 years ago. If we tried to do that now. Yeah, then we started about 10 years ago, 10 years ago. If we try to do that shit now, like, we'd just get banned.
Yeah.
Or like
they don't tolerate it now.
Any comment you type, they would just be like, this is missing context. You can't say that. Like, those right versus left debating groups, man, like, that shit.
I wonder, can you even do that anymore? Does RVL even exist?
I don't even argue anymore.
Because the right can't say anything.
Right, yeah. No, it can't.
Like, they physically... I mean, we always used to talk about political correctness being the plot to, like, take away the words you need to make your argument.
Yes.
They've just basically digitally done that.
Yeah, political correctness isn't... And we've always said it's not, like, some snowflake thing to, like, preserve the feelings of...
Like, they started taking away...
literally to make it so you can't even...
They take away euphemisms now, like, for... Euphemisms for the euphemism. Like, you can't say... Can you say international financial click anymore? I don't think you can, like, stuff like that. Like,
you would have to have, like, multiple levels of euphemisms.
You'd have to do, like, that Tucker Carlson. What was that one? What was his long forgotten man one? Like Yeoman, salt of the earth, middle American, blah, blah, blah. Founding stock. Something of founding stock. I can't remember what it was. It was so long and convoluted because you just couldn't say white people.
Yeah, it's just like white
people. Just say white people. Yeah. It was just ended with the nation's founding stock. My God.
Even that is like, that almost bothers them more.
I'm sure it does.
It reminds them of what, like, white people really are, not just like, because it goes beyond like, okay, white. I mean, I would even say founding stock. I think that's a good way to talk about it because you don't, that makes it very clear. Like, if you say whites, that can somewhat be like, oh, that can maybe be divorced from what that really is. But when you understand, like, white people as the founding stock of a nation, that really will trigger some alarm bells because it implies like that whites have some kind of right to the land that they that they tamed, they conquered. If you even though they did conquer,
they colonized.
Well, so what? Colonized. My thing is this: with North America, it's like, how many actual Indians were here?
Who cares?
On a whole continent? No, no, no. I think it's relevant. I think it's relevant because if there was a huge, bustling Indian civilization here, like large people with like cities and everything, first of all, like, you wouldn't have been able to take it. You wouldn't have been able to. But on what, my question is this. Based on what right does this small number of nomadic tribes claim an entire continent? Based on what right?
That they're not white.
Okay.
I mean, that's really
post-colonial
that's
ideology.
That's what this all just boils down to. It's like, if white people did it, it's bad. If brown people did it, it's fine.
Yeah, well,
if brown people had the continent of North America taken away from them through trickery, through violence, through whatever means, that's bad. The same thing happens to white people. That's good. There's no principled discussion to have about it. I mean, really, that's why when you say, like, how many Indians were there? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. How many Indians are there? Well, I don't give a fuck.
I think it's relevant.
It's
because my thing is, like, there's only, I'll tell you how many.
It's
there
relevant
were.
To somebody
I'll tell you
who's
how
like,
many there
you're
were.
Relevant to somebody who's, I guess, who's like talking about it in good faith, but since no one talks about this in good faith,
it's well, I'm talking about like, it in good faith. I'm telling you what I think.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how many there were. There was between 2 and 3 million. Do you think that between 2 and 3 million nomadic tribes people have a right to a continent this size and this rich?
Yes, no. Because they're brown.
No. I don't, but again, I don't adhere to that belief system.
Right. They'll pretend. That. And what's fun is like they'll pretend they don't believe that either. They'll just talk
well,
about
the thing is, it's like, okay, so do you believe in, you believe that people have a right to claim land as their own?
Brown people.
Right. That's it. Again, yeah. Again, here's a funny thing from this book. This is something I just leafing through this morning. I came across. Yeah. It says, outside Europe, in linking decolonization and queerness, many of these activists work to conflate European colonization with an artificial imposition of the notions of gender and sexuality. Elizabeth Curry.
Did you know Indians was gay? I knew Indians was gay. Thank you.
I've can't seen pronounce that bit.
I can't pronounce it. Yeah, no, it's really funny.
A two-souled person. That Indian has two souls.
You mean like that corn nigger has feathers in its hair? What's wrong with it?
Yeah, well, here we go. Here we go. It says Elizabeth Kerry. I can't pronounce her. It's like Kerry. That's this woman's last name.
Down the road that I must travel?
Yes. Okay. Is one such figure in New Zealand who states that pre-colonial Maori were sexually experimental people who openly accepted gender and sexual fluidity. It's like, does anybody really believe that? Like,
I'm trying to think about the Maori. Were the Maori one of those people that have like 68 IQs?
No.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Maori are like Pacific Island people.
Oh, okay.
They're like the big fat like Pacific Islander types.
Oh, okay.
And they do like the facial tattoos and they do like that dance. You know how they do that in New Zealand?
Like, are they like fucking dumb though? Like that's what I'm.
Well, obviously they're dumber than white people, but they're not as dumb as Abos.
Okay.
No one is. Here's the thing. Maori are Homo sapiens.
Okay.
Okay. Like, Aboriginals are not Homo sapiens. They are a different species of hominid.
Were these just people that, if they feel a sexual urge, they just grab something, like, no matter what it is, male or female? And that's not really acceptance of trans. It's like, okay, these people are still basically like, were they just still humping legs like my dog would if it had balls? Without not understanding why it's doing it or what for. So but I'm just saying, like, that's not really accepting gender ideology. That's just like, okay, you've got a being that doesn't
well, I think
understand
that you can,
it.
I feel like you're projecting your shit onto these people.
Me?
No. These trans activists.
Well, they make like, things up and they try to... your shit. Yeah. Well, they try to post-hoc...
Well, first of all, here's the thing. You can examine what these people are like. And in fact, these people are highly patriarchal.
Okay.
And that males dominate.
So they're just making it up then?
And males often have more than one wife and stuff. And the fact that, like, you can find an example of some of them where this one guy was a faggot or this one, you know, some of them would be, like, having sex with men or something like that. It's like, also, they lie about that stuff. They lie about how often that happens. Like, they try to say ancient Greece was doing that, but that's not what ancient Greece wasn't about that. So... Yeah, it
really feels like noble savage mythos all over again, except now it's like noble tranny.
Yes, it's basically yet another kind of noble savage. trannies, like noble romanticizing
this stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, noble savage is a good way to like get anything over on like stupid liberal white people.
Yeah.
It's like a magic bullet. Like, oh,
and you would not believe how much like stupid libtard whites like believe in this noble tranny type myth, and actually
it's
have
like
bought
Dances with Wolves, but gay.
Yeah, Dances with Wolves in like actual like dancing, like you know, with sequins and like sparkles and you know, yeah,
dancing with Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, party and play with wolves.
Yeah. I don't know, liberals are just fucking stupid.
They really are dumb, and it sucks because it's like...
Liberals will see like what I've seen a couple times, where it's like my one male dog tries to hump the leg of the other male dog.
Oh,
like,
wow. See, homosexuality is natural!
It's like, no, they're just dumb dogs.
They're dumb dogs, and there's no female
like,
dog.
He doesn't know why his pee-pee feels that way. But he doesn't understand that. Like, he doesn't understand that the other dog has no capacity to like do the thing that needs to be done.
But
with that
But there's baby. No bitch.
Yeah.
It's like okay. Here's the worst example. Well,
in that case, Patchy was the bitch.
Okay.
Poor guy.
Here's the worst example of this. All right.
Eddie is so aggressive.
Here, penguins. Okay. Now.
Oh, this is my favorite one. Penguins, because the male holds the baby or something.
Penguins have very almost no sexual dimorphism in that just by looking, it's very you can't tell which is a male and which is a female. The funny thing is, people that study penguins, were they ornithologists, I believe, ornithologists, bird studiers, right? Is that what
bird studiers.
Right? Bird studiers.
Jimmy, write down bird studiers.
Ornithologists tell this by, well, you'd be an ornithologist, you have to be a little bit more than a bird. A bird watcher is also like a black guy that hides in the bushes waiting for...
He's like masturbating when a white woman catches him.
Yeah, he's not watching. That guy wasn't watching
for
birds.
He's a national hero.
He was watching for peckers, you know what I'm saying?
Deutsch. Wow.
What we missed that for this. Bird watcher? You're just like, oh, there goes one.
Well, you have your little book, and you're like, oh, it's one of these birds.
I think you literally have a book.
And you like write down, like, I saw that one.
Of like birds in your area, and you check them off. I saw one of them. Mm. Look, people, before people had like live streaming HD shit, there's a lot of stuff people do for
this
entertainment
probably fun.
That required very, very low time preference.
I think they probably live stream the bird watching now.
You can get that.
I'm sure you can.
You can get
sure.
that. If you
then
want,
I don't have to go outside because today it's raining. I don't want to bird watch. I'll rather watch it on YouTube.
Right. In any case, we're losing the plot here. So penguins. So for those of you that don't know, now, it's not even just like one zoo. Like, this is a thing. So...
Penguins do gay shit.
I did.
That's what you're getting.
No, they don't.
To.
No, they don't. They don't.
Well, they do. According to like shitlibs and gays, penguins do gay things, and this is why
they're forcing them to do it.
Oh, well, I was just like, whether they're forcing it or not, I always just like laughed at the idea of like, so you've discovered some kind of homo tendencies in penguins, and that means that I should accept it in humans. Like,
no,
get the fuck away from me.
I'm not a
bird.
But they're even lying about the penguins.
That's funny that they're even lying about it.
Impose it. Now, here's what happens. Now, penguins...
I think I know what's happening.
As creatures with low sexual dimorphism, male penguins will look after an egg.
Yes.
Okay? That's a natural behavior.
Right.
Because when you have a penguin pairing, a male-female penguin couple, both of them will nurture the egg. Both of them will nurture the egg.
Didn't you know that is a justification? That's a justification for the dual income household, and while your wife needs a career, and you should maybe do the dishes once in a while, sir. I mean, this is just like a shitlib thing. I've heard these things so many times before, and I'm just like, you're talking about frozen verbs.
Talking about penguins. Now, there's nothing wrong with penguins.
We're people.
Okay?
No, that's what penguins do.
The point Mike is going to make. Keep going.
Okay. So what happens?
You drag me kicking
because of this. Because the males and in a natural environment where there are roughly equal number of female and male penguins, that when they couple off, they actually form little households, and they form like families, and both the male and the female penguin will look after the child. In a lot of species, the male disregards after fertilizing, the male actually abandons the woman completely.
Disregard female, acquire currency.
Right, and even in birds, sometimes they do this, but in penguins, they don't. And actually, there's a observation of monogamous behavior in animals is linked to sexual dimorphism. So species that are lower sexually dimorphic are more like lovebirds. Those birds. Birds are actually very like of all kinds of animals are most likely to kind of pair off for life, and that happens when the male and female bird look almost very similar. Now, some species of birds, the male is extremely flashy and the woman is extremely, or the female is extremely plain, etc. But, you know, humans, males are generally about 30% larger than females. So humans are not actually perfectly monogamous, although, you know, social structures make people monogamous. But in any case, in birds, so you do have the, but that doesn't mean that penguins are gay. And so what will happen is, and this has been happening. I was actually reading a whole series of articles in the New York Times on this a few weeks ago, and I went like on a mini deep dive because I got really mad when I learned about it. They are just making this. So what will happen is they will put two male penguins in an enclosure and put an egg in there. They will steal an egg from a female and put it in an enclosure with two males, and then the two males will start to engage in parenting behavior, both of them together. Now, the funny thing is, they never do sex. The two male penguins don't behave sexually with each other, but they both behave parentally towards the same egg. So they pretend, wow, here we have a gay family. And you actually have to read a long time before you find out that the two males don't have sex with each other. And the funny thing is, when you reintroduce them into a wider population of penguins,
they go back to normal.
They go back. They will. And look. And they'll also. The other thing is, penguins do another thing. They become friends. So there is a male bonding behavior where two male penguins become like buddies, and they'll like do stuff together and hang out together and always sit near each other.
It's like
and
Frodo and Samwise.
Okay. Right. So that happens too. And so they're projecting homosexuality onto that. But again, Charlotte, the one thing that they don't do, even when they put them in an enclosure with no female, and in order to create this behavior where the male penguins are like, you know, are doing this, they have to like deprive them of females. They have to put them in an environment with no females in order to get them to do this.
This is confusing to me because I was told if you put grown adult men in, say, a seafaring vessel, like several centuries ago, they just immediately start butt fucking each other.
No,
this is very strange to hear that penguins can actually resist that sort of behavior.
Well, they just don't.
Mike is kind of over-explaining this when all he really had to say is prison makes niggas gay.
But in penguins, it doesn't even make them gay. Like, it doesn't even make penguins. They can't even make. Look, you can put certain types of animals in a single-sex environment, and they will start doing homosexual stuff. You can do that. Even humans will start doing it. But in penguins, they can't even. And that's the funniest thing. The reason. Now, here's the thing. Here's what was really going on with this. And this is why I was finding this so enraging, is that they were using this to justify gay families. Back when that was the thing that they were pushing on libtards very hard, was they were showing, here's a homosexual penguin family. Because again, usually in animals, homosexual behavior comes when you put a bunch of male animals in a single-sex environment. Now, you can't do it with females because they'll just sit around doing nothing. But you put male animals in a single-sex environment, and they will start humping each other, but there's no like familial-type behavior with that, right? Like, it's pure just like – it gets real
but you're manipulating your environment to achieve any of these outcomes, so it's automatically invalid.
You're not putting a hump to death by a man animal in my report.
Right. It's automatically like you're just creating the outcome you want. But the funny thing is that because the male penguins will exhibit like this parental type behavior, because they're very parental type creatures. Like they look after their young and they form family bonds and stuff like that.
So they're better fathers than blacks? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yeah, apparently. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's a few different types of penguins, and they all observe the same thing. The main thing is penguins have basically zero. You cannot tell just by looking. The funniest thing is you can tell by observing which is female and which is male, but you have to know which behaviors go with which. So that just means that, okay, so there is a sexual difference in certain types of behaviors. But then even funnier was I found that sometimes if they have basically created a homosexual, again, it's not sexual. You can't call them homosexual. Because they're not, the one thing they never do is the sexual behavior. But if you put two pair bonded males who have been looking after an egg, let me finish the story. If you take two of them and then you reintroduce them, after a few years they will separate and go and find females. However, before they do that, they'll like steal eggs and shit. Because it's two males, they'll dominate a male female couples because it's two males. So they'll go and steal eggs from like
that's fucked up.
From like male female penguin couple. The worst though is when the scientists themselves or the zookeepers themselves, the people looking after these birds, go and steal an egg from a female penguin. They take her egg and they put it in an enclosure with two, simply so they can say, and this was a thing that once it happened at like a zoo, once they saw in a zoo, they like observed this behavior sometime in the 90s, and then they started creating it, and zoos around the world started following suit in order to advertise to people, come and see our gay parent penguins. And they were using it to, there's a book that was written called like, they had two of these male penguins, and they also have started, okay, they also said that there is a genderless penguin. They said like this child, they finally actually had a lesbian. They gave a lesbian two mothers, two lesbian penguins, supposedly. Again, not lesbians, they're penguins. They had hatched an egg. And at the zoo, so they were just imposing gender ideology completely on penguins. So they were saying, okay, so they have hatched
humans
an egg.
Humans are a fucking abomination, and sometimes I think we all went extinct. It would be for the best.
No, stop, because most people don't do this. I disagree. With that. Most people hate this stuff. But the problem is, because the people that do this claim to be experts, then most people don't know how to do it. And what they're doing is justifying a gender ideology that they wanted to push on people. So they have the two lesbian
this
penguins.
This is animal abuse. This is animal abuse to some extent.
I'm just going to say, we're going about our politics all wrong. Instead of like making speeches and writing platforms and doing pot, we should be just like experimenting on some animal population to show how, see how these pick your bird like exhibits Nazism. justify how this is a good thing. Church. See, yeah.
Well, we can do that. We can do that, but we don't. Again, look. I think.
Well, because I mean, they're clearly like you know, they had a good run.
Find this genderless.
This shit's working.
Story.
Is what I'm saying. Like, the gay niggas everywhere. They're trans niggas. What are they gonna do? What are they gonna have? Like tranny penguins. Like apparently, this is the road to victory. Like having penguins on your side.
No. I totally disagree. It's not. This is a celebration. Okay, here we go. London Aquarium to raise genderless penguin. Okay.
Is it a hermaphrodite? Like, there's no such thing.
You've got to let me tell the story.
Okay. You already told it.
Maybe. A same-sex penguin couple
will
raise an adopted genderless chick for the first time, a London Aquarium announced Tuesday. Let me finish.
Just have them. I want
the 4-month-old. Now, here you go. The 4-month-old.
What is it, the genderless chick? How is that possible?
Well, let me explain.
It's impossible.
Let me finish the story.
But I'm still reacting. Like, we don't just do a story where we don't just do a show where we read the news. I'm visceral reacting to the idea that how you cannot say that a chick is genderless.
I'm gonna explain it.
If you could do that shitty like leftist bit where gender is not genetic or physical, it's just, well, then they don't have a gender because they're fucking penguins.
Right, but I want to read to you this story.
Or they
can't lack
gender because they will develop the behaviors, as you said before. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I want to read the story so you can see how they get around this issue and what they're doing, right?
It's
so,
a total fabrication.
It's made up, right? Now, so the 4-month-old Gen 2 penguin. Now, Gen 2 is a variety of penguin, right? That's where that... Well, you know how Linux has the penguin,
right?
The penguin, So... The 4-month-old Gen 2 penguin chick will not be named or characterized as male or female, Sea Life London said. The chick is being raised by two female penguins, Rocky and Marama, who were given the egg to relieve the penguin's birth mother of the pressure of raising two chicks. So again, stole an egg from a mother penguin.
This is like an abortion story here.
Put it in an enclosure with two female penguins to create an artificial impression that there's a lesbian. And the most important thing I want to get across is that zoos were doing this as a fad thing and doing special gay awareness days and trans awareness days and bringing in the public and bringing in children and showing them gay penguin families and pressing a homosexual ideology on them through this.
Yeah.
That is like, that's what's really going on. So, and it's totally constructed. They have to create the environments for this and they have to manipulate the penguins into having these behaviors. And then they go and they say, look, here we have gay penguin family. Gay families are normal. Gay families are real. And when you tell that to a little kid, what does that do to them? Fucks up their head. Fucked up their brain.
Sure.
And it makes them think, oh, look, these penguins, you know. So anyway, It will be the world's first penguin not to have its gender assigned.
All you got to do is tell a kid, you know, they stole that chick from that other penguin over there, and they'll cry. They'll be very upset.
Yeah, be like, there's a mommy penguin.
You stole that baby penguin from that other mommy.
There's an egg. They stole that egg from another mommy penguin who's missing her egg now.
I want to touch on this real fast. They're not going to assign this penguin a gender. So does that mean that now when you're a biologist and you're out in the wild, you see an animal species, and you're like, well, I'm not going to assume what gender that elk is.
No, anything in the world of science now is whatever like the credentialed observer says it is. That's what we're working with right now.
Like, so listen.
Just be a speciesless. We have a speciesless being. Let's have
experts,
that.
Experts at the aquarium usually give newborn penguins gender-based names. But in this case, they decided it was more natural for the chick to grow and develop into a mature adult as genderless, which is normal in the wild until they mature.
Do these fucking idiots think that the penguin understands that it has a male name?
The zookeeper gave it a name?
Yeah, no, they don't. No, they're lying to people. This is a big fat lie. Like, what is it? What does zookeeper name? I mean, look, they already have a female penguin with the name Rocky. That's not a female name. You think that it's like, yeah.
Penguin.
This is literally to bring children into the zoo and hit them with this gender ideology shit. That is what it is. While the decision may ruffle a few feathers, gender neutrality in humans has only recently become a widespread topic of conversation. However, it is completely natural for penguins to develop genderless identities as they grow into mature adults, says manager Graham McGrath. Now, this is, in my opinion, this is just scientific fraud.
This is juice.
This, when you observe a penguin, you see a penguin. This is the thing. You look at the animal. You watch it in the wild. Its behaviors are its behaviors, right? These penguins behave as they behave. For you to assign gender non-binariness to how penguins behave is fucking retarded. Like, a male penguin has certain... There are male and female penguins biologically, and they have to be so in order to create chicks.
Anthropomorphizing penguins with this...
People have anthropomorphized animals for a long time. They give them, like, human names and personalities, and that's just fun. But, like, you are now gender-pomorphizing them. You're basically saying, oh, this penguin isn't exhibiting male or female... Well, you don't know that. What do penguins behave like?
They behave like penguins.
They behave like penguins. So you have to
assign male and female to them, otherwise you can't do any science whatsoever.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if male and female penguins, and here's something I'm willing to believe, male and female penguins exhibit remarkably similar behaviors.
Sure.
Fine. But that doesn't mean anything because they still mate as male and female. Like,
this means you should cut your dick off.
No female penguin can create an egg that will hatch until it's fertilized by a male. Now, I'm not even sure how they do that, how they do sex. I'm sure that there's a way. Obviously, there has to be, right? And so that's how you create new penguin chicks. If the fact of the matter is that when you just watch penguins, you can't tell, oh, is that a male? Is that a female? I can't tell just by looking at it. Like you said, elk before elk, you can obviously tell which is the male because it's got that huge crown of antlers. But, I mean, you know, we're going to shave this elk's antlers off because we want to make it genderless. What's that?
I said elk.
Oh, you did. You mentioned elk. That. Well, be funny. Let's not go into the wild, and we'll do this elk a favor. We think its male identity is burdening it. It feels like it has to act and behave as a male elk. It has to be aggressive and threaten other animals with those antlers. So let's just shave those off and we'll just clip those antlers off. And now look, now elk, we've freed you from your male identity. You don't have to act in such a patriarchal way. You don't have to be slave to the...
All of this stuff is such deranged animal abuse. Like, I want these people to be taken out to the Arctic or wherever.
I want them to be put into the penguins' environment.
I want them to be pecked to death by penguins. I want penguins to peck out their eyes.
I just want them to be put in the penguins' natural environment and forced to live that way.
This is just animal abuse. It's straight up animal abuse. Like, I got these penguins in penguin jail and I'm taking...
I mean, I would argue... That if you, if you steal eggs from a female animal, you are abusing her. If you deprive male animals of female animals with which to mate, you are abusing them. And vice versa. If you deprive animals of it, I mean, look, zoos already, I think, are pretty ethically fucking questionable. But
I think I would close down zoos, to be honest. This needs to stop. All of this needs to stop. It's just bad.
Yeah, but once they become, and it's also human abuse. I mean, never mind. Like, what about all the children? That they bring through the zoo and tell them these things.
To brainwash them with transgender shit.
Yeah, the purpose of this is to give.
Yeah. So everyone's being abused. It's just one big, hive of abuse.
It's an abomination.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing should be trashed. If this is what zoos are used for, I would just close zoos. I'm with the animal rights people. Close it down. Shut it down. And what's funny is, how come animal rights people aren't saying anything about this? Right?
They should be.
They should be, because I would say, here you have, this actually offends me deeply in terms of, it's one thing to observe animals. First of all, I've always not really liked the zoo, particularly when you see the depressed, some of the animals that just don't need to be caged. It's not good for them. Now, certain animals, I don't care. Like the reptile house, I don't like reptiles anyway. I know you do, but I don't. But they don't seem to have a personality one way or the other. But like, I don't know, when you see the large mammals, like large mammals aren't meant to be in those small enclosures like that. It's just not good. It's not good.
I found a post on Scientific American where they're talking about these controversial Toronto zoo penguins. Turns out they weren't gay after all. Oh, you don't say.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, they split up. No, it was really funny because they wrote the book. There was the two sort of first ones they did this with. They actually wrote, there's some guy actually wrote a children's book about like this penguin couple. And it was like a big deal, and it's actually of course it's one of those things like one of the most banned books. It's because there was like school boards in America that didn't want children reading this. That like, oh, somebody put it on the reading list, and then the board would be like, no, we're taking that off the reading list, right? And school boards still had the ability to do that kind of thing back in the day. Of course, now you can't do that stuff. But they put them back into a normal population, and they split up, and they found female partners after a couple of years. Pretty funny.
So I was watching a David Stewart video yesterday, because I occasionally do that, and he was talking about culture being downstream from politics, and this is like a perfect example of that, this shit being top-down, pushed on society, this now becomes accepted norm, being gay is fine, being trans is natural, we have transgender penguins, like this is all top-down stuff, and they present it like it's a natural phenomenon, like, well, we pulled the boots of oppression off of people's necks, and it turns out that they're all gay and trans. Like, we relieved the oppression in society and allowed these people to blossom. They've just been here the entire time.
Yeah, they were always here.
It's like, it's not true. No, you made them. You fucking made them with stuff like this.
You just burst the tranny dam. They're all just waiting behind the concrete wall. They're just waiting to burst through with their happiness.
So here's what's funny. So here you get like a little bit of truth from one of the penguin experts at the zoo. She said, two sexes in penguins behave very similarly to one another. They look almost identical to one another. Behaviorally, they act very similarly as well. In terms of reproduction, both males and females invest pretty equally in raising their chicks. So basically, you took this characteristic of the penguin as a species, and you faked up homosexuality just by putting two males and an egg in a cage, and you're like, look, they're gay. And you've also done the same with... And look, they even talk about...
It'd be kind of neat to be like, oh, wow, so it seems that, like, two males can effectively raise a baby for this species. That's interesting. But no, it's like, that's not what you weren't looking to find out.
But that doesn't happen in the wild, though.
Can we create propaganda for, like, the trans movement?
Yeah, well, it's like penguins, because of their nature.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of penguins, they were ideal for using for this type of propaganda. Because there are some species where if you put a egg or you put a child or a young of that species in a cage with two males, the two males will disregard it.
Also,
and the thing will die because they don't. They do it with monkeys. See what happens. They'll probably eat it.
Well, it's look at that. And then a species like a penguin, does a penguin have the mental capacity to experience trauma based on growing up outside the norms of, I mean, it's absurd to ask because they don't have culture.
Probably not.
Like, they don't have, like, the problem with people is people have the capacity to experience trauma and be scarred for life by, let's just say, sexual abuse because you lived with two men.
As long as, like...
Or just the kind of, like, milder forms of trauma, being abandoned or not having a female figure around, because there's a lot more going on in our minds.
Yeah.
It's like none of this. It's not applicable.
I think it fucks them up.
You think the penguin chicks are fucked up?
It might.
I think they're being fucked up. I think they're being fucked up.
Well, we don't know, and so it's not our place.
I think he was going to do a bit there. Whoa! Is there like a?
Because we had the whole mouse utopia experiment. So yeah, if you change the sort of environment animals grow up in, it really fucks them up. And next thing you know, you've got all kinds of spiteful little mutants running around, and your entire animal civilization falls apart. We've done these experiments. Yeah. It's sad.
To get back to the genderless penguin, the way they're doing it, just is they're just not telling people what sex it is.
Right, I see that as well. But I'm just, like, I was thinking about
it's not like a mutant penguin that doesn't have a sex.
Well, no, I was thinking of the context of the mental trauma of being in a same-sex household.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
Do they even experience that as a trauma? Like, I doubt it.
I'm sure that they grow up to act different than other penguins.
They have no interest in studying that, so we'll probably never fucking know. But we know that they don't have the mental capacity that we do.
We don't know, but I mean, since
penguins, emotional scarring that can be done to a human being,
it's not the same. But since penguins are so low sexual dimorphic in both, and here's the thing, the male penguins don't have sex with each other, and I'm assuming they don't sexually abuse the chick. And right. I think to some extent, maybe a penguin chick, as long as someone's putting food in its beak, doesn't really care. I don't know. I can't say for sure. I just don't know. Now I know that once you get to higher orders of mammals, you will get into very weird type of shit. Yeah. And mammals are also, you know, mammals are different.
It's just funny that, like, people with these shitty ideologies will sort of, like, cling to the dumb idea of, like, well, look what happens with penguins. That means this justifies. It's like, how fucking retarded.
They literally say they're proud of their same-sex penguin program at the zoo.
Why? Because it works out unlike humans?
Well, no.
Same-sex humans doesn't work out.
It gives the appearance of working out.
I'm saying that's the connection between these two species is none. You can't apply fucking penguins do to what humans should do. It's like you are just like you are coping. The penguin cope.
The only reason they do this is to teach
little children. Yeah, to little children.
And penguins had humans in a zoo and they forced them to be homosexuals, would they be celebrating it? The penguin
maybe that's their revenge. Maybe that's ultimately revenge.
That's what humanity deserves. The fucking like a fucking penguin managed AIDS zoo.
Well,
basically, you already have that just without the penguin managers.
Oh, God. So here we go. Here's the book.
Submit to penguin rule rather than Jew rule.
Okay.
Beaks are smaller.
So here's the book. And Tango Makes Three is a children's book written by Peter Parnell and Justin Richardson, illustrated by Henry Cole, published in 2005. The book tells the story of two male penguins, Roy and Silo, who created a family together with the help of the zookeeper, Mr. Gramsci. Okay, so the zookeeper had to be involved here. Roy and Silo are given an egg.
These two penguins are gender-identifying each other.
They took an egg from a mama penguin who... I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you that there is trauma done to the female penguin whose egg is taken. I guarantee you.
What is this obsession there is no with animal taking eggs from other penguins?
Because they have to do it to create the same-sex penguins. And here's the thing. I guarantee you, that is traumatic for that female penguin. I tell you, one thing you can know about all animals in the wild is messing with their young, particularly the females, fucks them up and makes them really angry and upset. And they start like looking around for them, and they can't find them, and they get sad. It's true.
What kind of monstrous civilization would do this, and then not even be honest about the fact that we're doing this because we have made homosexuality one of our primary norms, like one of the things we're pushing.
We are doing this venerate. To push.
It's like a religion. It's the gay religion.
Basically, this is what we humans are currently worshiping. And remember, when we understand the gay ideology is invented, gay, homosexual, transsexual, gender ideology is an invention. It's not natural. It's not real. It's an invention. And it's a malicious invention of Jews in order to harm the reproductive capacity of a competitive population. Okay, that's important to understand this. Jews invented gay and gender ideology as a weapon against Europeans to harm their ability to reproduce and therefore compete with Jews. That is what this is about. So, in order to reify this already constructed ideology, which is a weapon, it is a weapon against the reproductive capacity of an entire population. That's what it is. So, if you believe in it, if you're like a white person that believes in this stuff, you are a mark. Literally, you are like a virus amongst your own people. You are like a spreading virus amongst your own people. If you spread this, if you believe in it and spread it, and because of social clout and respect and money that you're given to spread this, you then use it to push this ideology that damages the reproductive capacity of your own race. That's what this is about. Penguins are just a tool. And because of the behaviors observed in penguins, they were decided to be the best, most easiest ones to do this with. Plenty of animals with which you couldn't do this. Try and do this with gibbons. See what happens. It won't work. Right, you can't get two male monkeys to raise a baby monkey together. They won't do it. So you put two male monkeys in a cage in an enclosure with one baby monkey, and like I don't know what lunchtime, you would get. Right? It would probably they'd probably eat it.
Do you want lunch?
Yeah. Or like one of them would claim it, and the other one would just try and abuse it, and they would fight, or there would be something bad, like you know. But it wouldn't. It's not natural, so it wouldn't work, right? So I guess it would probably depend on the species of monkey and the characteristics of their behaviors and such. But my point is that they chose penguins for this because it's very easy to do this with them, right? And that's just how they are. But it's like, and you can understand why penguins would have evolved to have it be this way, because in the environment they live in, if one of the parents dies, the other one is equally invested in caring for the offspring. And that makes sense given the environment that they live in, right? But
you know the other insignificant creature that LGBT shit lives love?
What's that?
Oh, the seahorse.
The seahorse.
You remember the seahorse? What they do?
Because the male is the one that gives the birth.
There's some kind of like pregnancy handoff to the male.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, this is revolutionary.
But you that's also like, those are like.
Yeah, but it's just like, it has, again, it's like a thing that has no connection.
That is way far down on the evolutionary scale. It's like, even below penguins.
But they throw that out there like, see, like, man can have babies. Look at seahorses. Like, but those are fucking seahorses. They're not having babies.
They also start eating the babies as soon as they eject them.
Well, the shit-lib Jew likes that as well. Like, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we should eat babies. I mean, if you're going to outlaw abortion, conservators, maybe we'll just turn them into, like, little delicious breakfasts you have every 9 months. Well,
that was another top-down cultural issue. They legalized abortion, and then after that, it slowly gained acceptance throughout society, even though at the time, most people were against legal abortion. Most people didn't like it being a thing.
The people that were for legal abortion were constantly harping on it being, like, safe and rare.
Oh, yeah, they had to keep telling you it's not something we do on a normal basis. It's not just contraception. It's not, no.
So we don't even
have to lie to you about what it is.
If you haven't had an abortion, that makes you immoral.
Like this is when you get like the extra ideological shit lib in there that's like, I'm tired of capitulating to conservatives on this stuff. No. Why can't abortion just be contraception? Why can't it just be something that women use because they don't feel like having the baby? Why do we have to cuck to these conservative sensibilities on this? Like, have you ever seen this?
It's not like there was a vote on this. This was done by the Supreme Court.
Oh, there's no votes. No votes on this stuff. No. There's never votes on anything. I mean, we talked about
civil rights, all of that shit. This is all done by a court system, not by the will of the people. The people didn't even want this.
I've got something on this. So we've talked about that Princeton study, which was also published by Cambridge University by these two political scientists. Their names were Page and Gillens. And I believe one of them was a Jew. I think the Page guy, I mean, I looked at them. One of them looked very much like a Jew. I don't know for sure. However, they published that study in 2014. That said that America is effectively an oligarchy, and people that are very rich and people that are part of organized lobbying and pressure groups, Jews, I mean, they didn't say it, but that's what you get out of it. They get their way while ordinary people never get their way. So this is something now all magazines to push back on this. So I was wondering if there was any pushback from Jews on this, and there was. So of all magazines to push back on this, I found an article on Vox where they said, oh, do you remember that study that shows that America is an oligarchy? Well, here's why it's not. Mm. And they went through and they attacked it. But here's what's so funny. In order to attack this, what they did was they said, let's look at the rich and look at the non-rich. And then let's look at a number of issues and a number of bills reflecting those issues and see where these groups fall. And their conclusion was the rich and the non-rich agree on 89% of issues. And on those issues on which they disagree, the rich actually tend to, of course, have the more liberal point of view. But also, it's about 50-50 when these groups where these groups get their way or don't get their way. But here's the catch. And this was the defense, and they said that the defense that Page and Gillens used against their attack was not valid, but it's the same one that I'm going to use, which is that their definition of the rich was top 10% of income earners. So I looked it up. I went, I'm like, okay, so if you're in the if just to get into to break into the top 10%, to be just there at that 10% point, how much money do you have to make in America? $158,000 a year puts you at that point. First of all, that's kind of ridiculous, okay? That's it. So, if you group together, now, the person that makes $158K a year is not particularly more politically influential than this person that makes $75K a year. They really aren't. Essentially, you have two people that are probably both in debt, both living paycheck to paycheck. The one with the $158K probably has a nicer car, bigger house, but he's still in debt, still living paycheck to paycheck. Yes, still not sitting on anything real, not a capital owner. So they're not actually – and this is what Paige and Gillen said was, well, you're not talking about – you are like, sure, someone with $158K a year seems rich to somebody making $30K a year, but they don't have particularly more political influence. You have to look at who's politically influential, and you're talking about ultra rich. You cannot classify somebody like fucking Jeff Bezos and somebody with $158K salary. You are much more justified in putting someone with $158K salary, somebody with a $75K salary together in terms of who they are and where they fall politically and in terms of power and influence. So right there, your whole fucking argument goes out the window. Your whole fucking argument goes out the window. Now, I would bet you that if you ask me, this guy makes $75K, this guy makes $158K, which one's going to be the libtard? Which one's going to be the conservatard? I mean, we all know it's going to be the rich one. The one with the 158 is going to be libtard. The guy with the 75K is probably going to be a big truck guy or something like that, right? Fine. But that's not the point, because those two people actually will agree broadly on certain issues. But first of all, the other thing is gender ideology. Nobody would have even thought of that. That was invented and then pushed. So for people to even have opinions on this stuff, and first of all, on the fact that you have 89% agreement, well, that because people don't have opinions on stuff because they don't even think of it. So, you know, and they even talk about this problem of like non-ideas, like people that don't know about stuff. Because if you ask somebody, like, what's your opinion on gender ideology? I mean, now a lot of people have an opinion because it's been introduced into the ecosystem, but there would be very many people for most of history that would be like, I don't know what the hell you're even, what are you talking about?
What does that mean?
I don't have an opinion. What are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. But here's the thing. Gender ideology, objectively, it doesn't matter actually if you've convinced a certain number of middle-class libtards to agree with it, because it wouldn't even exist if not for very wealthy and interested groups making it into a thing. And this is the same with like most issues. So the very fact that you have this wide agreement on issues or the seeming illusion of this wide agreement is purely because of who owns media and who controls the academic complex. So it's really strange. And it's sort of like, and the funny thing is, one of the things they said was public financing of elections. They said, interestingly enough, it's actually popular amongst both groups. They said both people that fall in our non-rich and our rich category,
well, everybody wants money agree out of politics,
with agree with public financing of elections. Like, okay, so why don't we get it? Why don't we get public financing of elections? Who's against it?
You know what they say about having a big nose.
Right, but it's also like, it's like, who is against it? So the question is, if you have both people in the 90% income and in the 10% income bracket, the majority of both of these groups agree with public finance. Why don't we have it? Who's stopping it? That's the real question. Right there is actually the crux of the whole fucking issue. You literally are saying, you can't say it's a democracy. It's actually a democracy where these groups sometimes both each get their way and there's a handoff between the two. When here's an issue where supposedly both groups agree. And the reason both groups agree is because you lumped in people that make $158,000 with the ultra rich, and so obviously, you know, going up the scale, there's going to be more of those people, and they're going to agree with it. They all like it. Libtards love it. They love public financing of election. So why don't we have it?
The Jew.
Who are the people that are stopping it? That's how you understand who really runs the country.
The Jew.
And that's the thing that Vox just doesn't even mention in their article at all, and. I just think it's so funny the way these questions are begged.
That is very funny.
And it's like, why amazing, and the article just steps over that. After saying that both of these groups agree on this, it just steps over the fact that we don't even have it.
Yeah, well, the other thing it kind of speaks to is this phenomenon where you don't really appeal to the masses so much as just lead them around by the nose.
Yeah.
That's always worked this way.
Yeah.
Well, you get the amount of... you get the more obedient, like, midwits on board, and then you just kind of, like, use them to abuse the less obedient, the sort of, like, contrary. You've either got, like, people who agree or you got contrarians. That's, like, part of this whole polarization of this country is, like, that's why you can do fickle things so well. You have, like,
contrarians are just contrarians.
People that are adamantly for, adamantly against, and then, like, the middle is, like, the middle is basically sitting around considering, like, what's the worst. If they're even considering, it's, like, Do I want to put up with the stigma of being against trannies? Or, you know, do I want to be one of those guys? Do I want to just go along and get along? Like, which one?
And well, the other thing is that you'll get
inevitably the way this country works, you just end up being on not so much on board, but just not anti-tranny because it's like, oh, I don't want people thinking I'm a dick.
Well, the thing is this: it's the question is what actually wins? What actually gets done? So you'll have people that are liking something, you'll have people that are against it, and then you'll have middle-of-the-road people who either don't care, don't know about the issue, or see both extremes on either side as, like, crazy activist types that they don't want to be involved with because they don't want to be involved with these ideological people that are always harping about this or that. It's like, okay, so using gender ideology as an example for this, you have people that don't even know about it, don't understand it, and you have people like, well, I don't, you know, you guys, these anti-people that are very anti-it are and very active being against it, they seem kind of really engaged and like, I don't really want to be engaged, so I don't like that. And the people that are for it, they're also really weird freaks, and they seem kind of really engaged too, and I don't want to be engaged, but I don't like them. They're always in my face with this shit and stuff. It's okay. So there's that paradigm. But who wins? Well, the people that are for it.
The system's on one side.
Yeah, exactly.
The average midwit figures it out real fast. You're like, wait a minute. The power structure is such that I can get somebody in trouble by saying that they're anti-trans, pointing out that they said something mean.
I don't think average people do that. I think only a very small group of malicious mutants do that. But
unfortunately, I was going to bring this up earlier. I'm on Instagram a little bit, and I follow this emergency cringe page.
Oh,
and yeah, fucking irredeemable lickspittles that I see on there. somebody will say something wrong on social media, and you'll see all of these people just fucking clapping like seals whenever that person gets fired, like celebrating the precarity of their own existence. Like, oh, this is really great. This is really
Isn't it great?
My employer can terminate me.
Yeah. You're an irredeemable lickspittle.
Well,
my thing is, like, do you think that that is an average? Do you think that that's a behavior most people engage in?
I don't know if it's average.
I don't think so. I think those are outliers. I think those are extreme. And I think that
The average person is being caught having said something at some point and getting
or
fired.
Also,
like, that's the average.
Seeing that and just shutting their mouths. And the thing is, I think that that behavior is so easy to point out and show how shitty the people that do that are. People don't like snitching. They don't. They really don't.
The latest example is there was some nurse who had a TikTok video. And first of all, if you're a nurse, delete your TikTok. Shit. What the fuck are you doing?
God, that
just
was the worst.
Just everyone, if you're a human being, delete your TikTok.
Delete your TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, she was talking about how her coworkers react when she tells them that she doesn't wear a mask outside and her kids are allowed to have play dates. And suddenly you've got all of these white male firefighters and stuff and all of these other folks saying that she needs to lose her job, be fired, you know, put out on the street. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
What's with the universality
why
of the idea?
The fact the system can do this to you.
Also, what's with the universality of the idea of, like, losing your job is, like, an appropriate punishment for stuff?
Because they can't come. Because we don't have, like, we're not allowed, like, to throw you in jail or kill you.
Well,
that's what Americans can do.
Excessively punitive.
When like, you destroy someone's ability to earn a living, you are destroying them in a fundamental way.
You can't think that far.
And the fact that, people are not, there's a lot of midwits and sometimes they don't step back and analyze the systems in which they exist. That's our job. I want to step back and analyze. And leftists, of course, won't do it because they love the precarity because it's what gives them power. Hilariously, the supposedly pro-worker left, who doesn't give a fuck about the working class at all, loves the precarity of existence in corporate America where you can be fired for any reason because it gives them social power over other people and it gives them the ability to bully other people, and they love this. If there was just across-the-board protection for free speech, you can't get fired for shit you say, or your boss gets in trouble, there's no reason why that can't exist. This would remove all power from snitches and tattletales and lickspittles and pieces of shit obsequious little fucks. It would destroy them.
Well, it would put the burden back on them to like actually convince people.
It would put the burden back on them to be a decent fucking person.
Well, if you want the you want to have whatever you're whack. I don't even know what they stand
actually
for.
Actually, enforce them to be a decent person because you don't have any really avenue for snitching.
Drives me nuts. That's the reason I mentioned that there's white male firefighters that do this. It's like you people are the next ones on the chopping block. Do you not see that? Do you not understand? All it take is one person to make up some shit about you. Bam, there goes your job.
Well, in that case, it makes made up stuff. But I'm just saying, like in the realm of like masking, like they're never on the chopping block because they're in lockstep. They're just removing heretics. Somebody
with the masking issue, but still the general precarity is such that it could be anything else. It could be
it's crab barreling.
You gave a black guy a mean look, and now you lose your pension.
It is true that like nobody will stand up and defend that coworker either when that time comes. That's very true.
Yeah.
If there's a racism afoot, then it's like
that's the culture they're reinforcing is when this happens, you celebrate it and you're like, oh, that person shouldn't have gotten in trouble. It's kind of like you have abusive parents. And you get really excited and happy whenever your little brother gets beaten up by your parents.
Right. It's really, it's fucked up. And I think that our job is to talk about how fucked up this is.
Very fucked up.
And then talk about how screwed up a society that creates these kinds of incentives is. Like, why are you happy that someone else's life was destroyed? Why does that make you happy? Why are you we're always talked about, like we get talked about in like the most dishonest and ridiculous ways in terms of us being these weird, cruel monsters that want to kill. It's like, no, I've never celebrated someone losing their livelihood. I have never celebrated that. You'll never see me celebrate that somebody's going to starve to death or someone's going to have a very difficult time getting work and finding the ability to feed themselves or their family. Because
I can't remember that
I have never, ever done that.
I can't remember that happening to somebody that I don't like, so I guess I'm with you on that.
Well, that's fine, but it's like, even so, it's like it doesn't happen. Like, think about those of you out there. I mean, if you're a leftist, that's all you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. Much of your political engagement surrounds watching other people get their lives destroyed for not agreeing with you. Think about that. You're really shitty people. Like, you are very shitty, and you should feel bad about being that. You should feel bad.
Reveling in your enemies being destroyed is not a negative
trait.
These
aren't
what makes them shitty people is what they believe in.
But these aren't their
enemies.
They
believe in shitty things, and they have an enemy distinction based on awful things that they believe about life and about humans, and fuck them for that. And I hope every one of them loses their jobs and starves to death. And I would think it's funny if it happened to them. I'm not taking this cuck line. I fucking hate the enemy. I hope bad things happen to all of them.
I don't understand, though. But why? I don't think you say. I mean, I'm with you on that now, but that's only because they have already exhibited such terrible, awful behaviors.
Well, they exhibited Jewish behavior.
Yeah.
But that's
I'm saying,
too. It's like they should
look at themselves and think about their own lives. That like all you do, like I mean, they won't. But because again, the ability to self-examine is very, very difficult.
Why would you self-examine when you're winning? When you're on top? When you have the institution
support.
Because
you're being shitty. You're being a terrible person. Well, okay. Why would you self-examine when you're winning? How did Jews win? They made people that were winning self-examine.
Sure.
And told them it was bad for them to win. I'm telling you, libtards, it's bad for you to win. When you win, you're being bad people.
Well, of course.
Don't come and reinforce that they're being good people by doing it.
I'm not saying they're being good people. I'm saying they're bad people, but they're not bad because...
No. They're bad entirely. Everything they do is bad.
Yeah.
Don't cuck. No, I'm not taking that cuck line. They're all bad. Everything they do is bad.
Yeah, the other aspect of this is there's no quarter either. It's not like you say, you know, well, maybe we can force this person on board with us. It's like, no, let's just permanently destroy their lives.
No, I want to force them off of a board and they fall and they hurt themselves.
Well, I want to reinforce. Is not bad or good or these people or that. What I'm saying is what they're doing is it is objectively bad and it is unfair. It is unjust. It's illegitimate and they need to stop having that power and people need to organize in order to remove it from them.
Well, it's illegitimate
it's an
because
intolerable situation.
It's intolerable because what they're engaged in is replacing a population with, you know, the ones that they can't totally replace their
turning into trannies, turning gay. On the way to that replacement is
disgusting.
A million indignities and little petty triumphs that they have and little petty victories that they have. But again, they're not actually getting anything other than the pleasure of destroying another person. That's the other thing. For a Jew, it's different. And the funny thing is, you don't actually see Jews revel in it. Jews let the goyim, let their little goyim fucking pawns, who are their little foot soldiers in this, revel in it because they're never going to get anything else. So if you are in a situation where you too don't have any particular rights and you, your job and your livelihood can be removed from you just as easily for infractions against this ideological system, and you celebrate when it happens to someone else, I mean, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, as Alex said, you are celebrating the precarity, frankly, of your own existence and just glad it happened to the next guy rather than you. That is such a wormy place to be, and you should feel bad about being that guy. Now, for the Jew...
Like I'm glad that my dad kicked the shit out of my brother, not me today. It's so so wrong. It's just it's disgusting behavior.
And yeah, it is really disgusting. Well, again,
people should not be doing it. People who their other option is just shut the fuck up, don't say anything,
or be
don't
like,
come
hey,
you're clapping for it.
Be like, why should I be happy that someone's life was destroyed?
And to be fair, you do see people push back on this and say, "Hey, wait a minute, you are celebrating
there are,
this by
there
having
are,
a life."
There are people that do push back.
Would on you be it. Happy if the gay penguin zookeeper's life was ruined?
Yeah,
I would.
That person really deserves it, though. Like, really deserves it. I mean, that was actually disturbing to me. Like, this is a fucking abomination. This is actual animal abuse. Why is this allowed to happen? Like, why is no one up in arms?
Who's
going to
stop it?
Like,
well, dude, you know, here's the thing. Problem. Here's the thing. There were people that pushed back on it, and they were conservative Christian groups, Family Research Council, and others that actually pushed back on this. And the funny thing is, when Roy and Silo, those two penguins that were in this gay penguin book, children's book, when they were released back into a larger population and they actually found – they left each other and they found female partners, the evangelicals and the Christians, like, they, like, said, see? We told you. And the fucking penguin – gay penguin promoter people had to, like, in before it. Like, well, before the conservative social forces take too much of a victory from this, we'll just say penguins have always exhibited certain this, that type behavior. Like, Wait, no.
You mean they're normal?
Why shouldn't they take that win? Why shouldn't they take that W? Because well, it's clear that they won. I mean, it's clear that they were right.
Did they give the Penguins $15,000?
Yes, then they cut a check immediately to the zoo for $15,000. That's the thing. I mean, look.
You mentioned the Family Research Council, which I think the SPLC is like trying to say it's a terrorist organization.
They've been saying that's a hate group for a long time.
Yeah, they've been calling them a hate group for a long time.
What are they? They're just like anti... Are they anti-abortion or anti-gay?
They were anti-gay marriage and stuff too, yeah. They were just against... They were against these type of things, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. The disparity in how groups are talked about. Like, from the very beginning... and it's because of a lack of a killer instinct among conservatives. It's because of a lack of a... It's because of a, in some ways, being satisfied with simply just registering a complaint to, like, in the complaint box, right? Like, we're just going to put that complaint in the complaint box, and we just hope that, you know, and I think conservatives are led down these paths, never the will to take power and force your view, which is what libtards, what Jews do, and what they teach libtards to be an accomplice in, which is, like, force your view. And then the people that disagree with it have to be forced out of society or just suck it up.
When conservatives do it, it's like patriarchy. That's mean.
Well, you know, that's why the biggest trick of Jews is to tell conservatives, don't fight. Instead of fighting the institution that is doing the bad stuff, simply say it shouldn't exist. Good be point. Like more and only do it on only make that argument on a moral plane. Don't ever act politically to create that outcome. If you want to abolish the department, you need to take political power and get somebody in an office of political authority that will then abolish that department or something like that. Like, you can't just say to everybody, wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it be better if that didn't exist? Because libtards, but that's an interesting opinion, and then just continue on with what they're doing. Or they'll get you fired from your job for saying that. So what you have to do is literally put somebody in there who's going to get rid of it. If it's something that needs to be gotten rid of, you had to take power and get rid of it. Or if it's something like a school, which doesn't need to get rid of, you got to take power and make the school teach your beliefs.
Mm.
But that's not what, no, let's no schools. It's like.
School vouchers? Wait, no.
Wrong. Right, but even that, like the school voucher system.
I know.
It's just a way for Jews to avoid having to go to school with niggers. I
know. That was the joke.
Yeah.
Do you want lunch?
Yes.
I mean, school vouchers doesn't do anything about the curriculum. And they got conservatives on that for so long. It doesn't do anything about the curriculum.
But do you want lunch?
Yeah, sort of. Right. Kind of. We want a snack, maybe.
Yeah. I got these Ron Uns, like Pub Mix crackers. And pretzels? Oh, not Ron Uns, Utz.
Ron Utz?
Yeah, Ron Utz.
Have you gone to Utz.com? real interesting content there. You got like the cracked pepper and sour cream and the bagel vinegar. Chips. And
he's got $80 for anyone who can come up with a better bagel chip.
Bagel chips? I don't like any bagel product.
Oh, stop. Fucking. It's just bread.
At least it's leavened. It's the worst bread. There are infinite bread choices that are superior to a bagel. Bagel is literally.
I do not like
bagels. Bagels are shit.
You don't like a bagel chip?
No.
Nice hard crunchy.
I like a potato chip. A bagel chip will literally scar the roof of your mouth or break your filling.
It's like a concrete chip.
Yeah, it's like that is literally like I'd rather chew gravel like than fucking bagel chips. Wouldn't. It's basically the same thing. Bagel chip
is delicious. Gravel is disgusting. It's horrible.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, if you put salt on that gravel, you would not be able to tell the difference.
That's not true. I would be able to tell the difference.
Bagel chip oftentimes doesn't even have salt.
These bagel chips.
Bagel chip.
Ron Unz's bagel chip recipe has a lot of salt and seasoning on them. Absolutely. You can't just eat like a unseasoned bagel chip. That's just like a piece of stale bread.
Why not just put that same seasoning on a better medium, though?
Because they're all over everything. It's a variety pack.
I can do without the bagel chip. Nothing is ever made better with the addition of bagel, ever.
It's not a contest.
It's only made worse. The bagel chip party mix would be better if they left the bagel chip out and just left the other elements of the party mix.
They have to put something else instead.
Hot Cheetos.
No, you don't want hot Cheetos. Regular Cheetos, sure. We can put Cheetos in the.
Cheetos are often.
Putting Cheetos in the pub mix would be good.
Cheetos are often an element of the party mix.
What is this Black Farmers Act of 2020? I feel like I should look at that.
God, I've seen that.
We've talked about this before.
It's like another thing.
Niggers,
can you stop like not getting things done? Here's another.
Here's another attempt to give blacks farms another where like only like five of them sign up.
Thank God MMT is real. Yeah. Otherwise, it would like cost the budget a lot of money and like people would be, you know, poor because of it. But
nothing happens. Only very few blacks take them up, and then those that do just sell it right away.
And then somebody else has like a farm, and they just put like a black figurehead in charge of it while they're actually running it.
Yep.
Anyway, it's lunchtime. Be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Show as racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.
I don't understand nothing. All right, it's still November, so I'm not starting with the Christmas shit yet.
But
like, I'm ready. I feel like this year, I feel like I missed Halloween, and then Thanksgiving like snuck right the fuck up on me. Like, I just had too much other shit going on in my mind. But I know you did. You're talking about me now.
Yeah, we're not talking about
you. We know you sent us pictures of your amazing fucking decorations. I feel like that before I knew it, it was like. I should get a costume. It's like October 28th. So, like, oh, I literally can't order anything.
You think with ample warning.
That was the problem this year. You had to buy all your shit in the middle of September because they keep moving the fucking holidays. The holiday creep thing happens.
No, I just was too busy to, like, worry about dressing up as, I don't know, whatever. But
the Halloween decorations, they were gone, like, September 15th. Yeah. Like, they were out of the store.
Well, I was just too busy doing shit to, like, be happy. And then November was kind of like, oh, my God.
But now, I haven't noticed, and here's one thing. I haven't noticed a over-the-top early Christmas this year.
Oh, there was. That's because you don't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Because there's no
reason to go places.
But I don't go places. I don't go places where other people are.
It's been a thing for every Christmas, though. If you want Christmas decorations, you're shit out of luck now, too.
Christmas shit was out there. Christmas shit was out there. No, he's just, I don't know what he's talking about. I just bought Christmas decorations yesterday.
I go to stores. me and Mara went to a store the other day. I think it was Walmart. I was like, you know, they're not going to have much of a Christmas selection. And it looked like a pack of barbarians had been through that Walmart. Like, just
No, not necessarily. Barbarians maybe would be somewhat more respectable than the pack of people that went through Walmart. Yeah. Barbarians, at least you'd have a reason to, like, fear them, you know? Other than, like, the existential dread you feel from their very existence, you'd have a reason to fear them. I mean, like, literally, like, these people would be, well, these guys are tough.
I just feel like
kill and rape and take things they want.
I'm ready to enjoy Christmasness as of this weekend. Like, I was ready to go. I was still a little bit mentally somewhere else Saturday when you guys were over, but I think I'm ready now.
Quite often you're mentally somewhere else.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems.
I know.
I have a lot of things I gotta
do. And I'm the one that suffers for it.
You don't really suffer. You're just going to sit there and
you're
like, this guy's problem.
The listeners kind of suffer.
No, listeners love it. They're probably going to hate December 2020 the most because I have so much happiness right now. Like, I'm feeling so good.
I don't know. Happy Sven would, I think, be a welcome change.
That would be a
change.
You know
what would be the most welcome change? Would be, like, engaged Sven.
I'm already married.
You know what I mean. Engaged to Penguin Sven.
Ooh. That hurts. Sorry. Penguins exhibit such... Do they have such little rituals with their? Are they just seems like they just kind of like they form households and then just willy nilly, chilly willy nilly.
I mean, what was that? Just like a pun too far? Like, just,
well, you remember Chilly Willy, the penguin cartoon? Chilly, it's like, wow, I can't believe like what I just like made that connection. But yeah, no, I'm ready to like hang up garlands and stockings and play the little ditties in the show and the bumpers and it's good. So I'm in a great mood.
We're starting next show then.
Yeah, unless I like just don't do it, which is another
eventually we'll figure it out. Eventually,
stairs right now. Wait, eventually. So your wife hasn't jumped on the decorating train yet?
Oh yeah, dude, we got a tree. She's got all the stuff out. We're getting there.
I guess we're gonna put up our tree today. Maybe later.
I bought a real ass motherfucking tree the other day.
Yes, you did.
Goddamn balsam fir.
Is it inside now?
It is inside.
Okay. Otherwise, it'd be really wet.
Balsam fir.
Balsam fir. I'm very happy with it. It's like I forgot what like a real tree is like. I was like, this is neat. It's still like you touch it and it's like, and it softly bounces back. Unlike,
and it actually makes the house smell kind of good. Somewhat.
I actually haven't. No, she has to light the little like pine candles for it to smell good. It doesn't smell good anything.
Oh, really?
Okay. Goddamn it. These pretzels are the worst. Yeah, point being, I'm happy, everybody. Christmas time. Fine. Fuck the kikes. They can't take this from us. They can never take this feel from me.
Yeah. Also, you should be happy.
They want to. They desperately want this fucking holiday to end. They want to destroy it this year. Don't let them.
Well, that's why it's sort of funny that, like, the Christmas stuff, how much commercial... People always complain about, like, the commercialization of it. It's like, yeah, but they commercialized it, but... And sure, that... In some level, it cheapens it, but, you know, I don't know. It's funny. It's a funny thing.
Oh, you're going to keep the commercialism, but you're just not going to see your family for Christmas. That's the
right. Point. That's what they want to do. I feel like that's the real shot. And they're going to do a Christmas like they did. I mean, maybe that's why they're continuing the stuff. They want to ruin Christmas. I just don't know.
About super spreader events at the family Christmas, but you can go to the church at Walmart and cram as many people in there as you want.
Yeah, it's really interesting that how I mean, one thing I think that we can say is like a good way of looking at this is that there is Finkelthing going on with COVID stuff. That doesn't mean that there isn't interesting things to analyze. And I've talked about how I'm kind of iffy about going too far with the sort of the conservative libertarian take of it, because I feel like, one, they're not actually correct, and two, it's just too easy. It's like too easy of a way to again be like, I'm going to use COVID to like sneak up on people and make them Nazis. It's not going to work. But I think what we can do is criticize this, as you were saying, Alex, this whole system and the way that it makes decisions and the way that it implements policies and such, and the fact that it doesn't know nearly as much shit as it pretends to, and yet
you can criticize the cultural values, which you're not going to see conservatives really do this properly, but you can definitely do that. Like, okay, so what is the real church? Oh, it's obviously the market, because the church is like Walmart, get to stay open, but your little Baptist church has to be shut down. Can't have more than 10 people in the building. So that really shows you where the priorities are in the civilization. And then also, too, the thing about...
And that's not critiqued in the media, either. There's no critique in the media of people going shopping, you know? No. Yeah.
Of course not. Of course
no, not. Just be safe. Stay safe. Stay safe.
The other thing I find really interesting, so COVID is essentially not deadly for children. It very rarely causes kids to die.
Right.
Probably influenza kills more kids than COVID does. I'm sure that this could be easily proven. So in order to protect the most elderly and vulnerable part of the population, they can't see the youngest part of the population. Grandparents can't see their grandchildren in order to protect the grandparents. I just find that to be very interesting in terms of priority. Like, the youngest members of society always get the shaft. They always get fucked over. It's almost like a type of antinatalism.
We want to get the alienation baked in from the beginning.
Just like I was talking about that nurse, one of the things that got her in trouble is she had said that her kids were allowed to have play dates. I'm like, wait a minute. So you have a problem with children playing with other children?
That should be allowed no matter what, right?
No. Distance playing.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It's when you just don't play.
That's just staying home.
Yeah. Staying home.
Yeah, so that's been my question is, so what you're saying is you want to create a situation where children are going to stay at home and be locked up in their houses, not allowed to socialize.
What are you doing? I'm going to stay at home, son.
That's okay.
I'm a stay at home toddler. It's my career. I do Zoom chats with my other friends. Play Monopoly.
Yeah. And I just think that, like, I understand why people mistrust things like Dr. Fauci and the system and the because it feels like here are people who've been malicious to you your whole life, who have said things and made pronouncements that attack you and your beliefs and your lifestyle and your people and your race. You know, whether you fully are cognizant of this up front or you just sense it inherently or whatever. But here are people that you feel have been attacking you your whole fucking life. And now here they are saying, don't get together with your family.
You
would be like, yeah, you know what? You're a fucking liar. You're just trying to fuck with us in another way. Fuck off.
You're a liar and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
We're going to have the God Yule? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. So I get that logs, totally. I mean,
we're going to have pies.
It's important to understand.
We have those weird cherry beers that are really heavy. I keep drinking those. The Mad Elf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Stuff. Those are good. Those are really good.
The worst.
And I would also say this. Like, think about this. Because Jews are in power, any crisis they can use to their advantage. I mean, if you're in power, you can take the circumstances of the world and use them to create outcomes that you want. So Jews can take the COVID thing, which is a real disease, and they can use it to attack all kinds of – they can use it to not attack market behaviors that they like or to further reinforce certain behaviors that they like. They can and then to destroy behaviors they don't like family get-togethers, like Gentiles being able to have enjoyable times with other people. Alienation is one of their biggest weapons, one of their best, the things they like the most. They don't like is again preventing human relationships.
Sorry,
among particularly white Gentiles,
I'm not participating in that one. Juice
is a very big deal to them. So you can always take something and use it to attack those things that you want or create outcomes that you like, and use these things as an excuse to do what you want anyway. So what I think
not on my watch.
Should always be done. Is like rather than let yourself get talked into a place where you're going to make common cause with a Jewish temple because like they got fined a slap on the wrist, you should be attacking those who are actually in power and what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it and the fact that they're in power at all. It's not that COVID is fake. It's that this powerful group of people can manipulate any one circumstance how they want and give them another tool in the toolbox for them, right? And wow, look at this. They want to make sure that they destroy people's abilities to have decent relationships with each other. And that's big on their agenda. And then they, of course, get to further create their little army of libtard snitches. I mean, that's like the worst of, I mean, the snitching, the level, like, dude, internet clout and snitching are like, have a very strong relationship to each other, and shit needs to fucking stop.
Yeah, the level of snitching is just off the charts right now. But yeah, there's also a thing, too, with particularly with Americans and the way they deal with mortality salience. And I know the Christopher Lyons talked about this. You basically, you grow up as part of a narcissistic consumer economy and you are terrified to die. It's like too scared to live and terrified to die at the same time. So COVID can certainly kill you. And people are still like they're just not going to live lives now because of that that non-negligible chance that you might die of COVID. They're just going to stop living their lives completely. It's that to me is kind of amazing. I think that that's something that we don't really talk about a whole lot, but like dealing with the fact that, yeah, you're going to fucking die one day. You're going to die. So get
you're
used
gonna
to
die.
It. You're
going to die.
You're going to die. You're going to die. In the fucking... You're going to die.
Shit, I don't think I have that. I'm looking
for But it. I mean, what you were saying about mortality salience, like sociologically, it oftentimes increases friend-enemy behaviors and things like that.
Yeah, it escalates a lot of things. And this is actually one of the things, too, where the religious communities and people who have a sense of meaning deal with it better than atheists. Shitlibs tend to be atheists. So this is one of the reasons shitlib behavior is getting so intolerable right now. They're scared, and they don't have anything else to hang on to, so they're going to start hurting other people around them.
But I think I would also say, you know, religion is one type of thing. But again, imagine being part of a national community, like a national identity.
Yeah, no, I don't think it has to be religion. Religion is just one vehicle gives you a sense of orientation and meaning. And if you have that sense of meaning and purpose in your life, then you deal better with the idea that you're going to die.
And what's interesting is how Jews will attack all identity and meaning, and then they will try to construct it in a phony way in order to achieve a goal. Like if they want a war or something like that in the Middle East, they will construct a phony and empty patriotism, right? Like a fake, like Freedom Fries tier patriotism. And of course, like, you know, libtards will be entirely and justifiably cynical of this because they see what it is. They're not pointing their finger. They think it's conservatives that do it, but they're not pointing their finger at the correct culprit here. It's basically this phony and bogus friend enemy patriotism that is created and destroyed at will. There's nothing organic to it. It's not real because it's sort of like, okay, so the America that makes me have, all of a sudden I love America, all of a sudden I want to wave the flag and tell people to go kill and die for America, but it's not even really for America because no one can actually explain to me how American lives are in any way at risk here in this thing that we're supposed to go do, or even values that anybody really holds. Like you're supposed to say, oh, democracy, but then you couldn't give a shit. If I asked you 2 weeks ago if you cared about democracy in Uzbekistan, you would be, I don't give a fuck, right? So it's totally fake. And I was actually reading about, because I remember you mentioned that how mortality salience can lead to, can actually create a more jingoistic reaction amongst people. And I've been reading.
I think it's that kick the dog mentality. I think it really is. It's like, all right, I'm under stress, so the best way for me to alleviate my stress is to take it out on this other group that has nothing to do with me.
But again, that's just how it's used now, because in the way humans evolved, the mortality, an idea of mortality or threat from another group would be very real, and you would have to fight.
Yeah.
Like if you're a member of a certain tribe or a certain national group or a race, and there's a competitor group that is encroaching on you, or you're encroaching on them because you need their land or their resources or whatever. Like both groups will understand that death is an option. Death is a possibility, or death is closer than it was before, and therefore orient closer to their group. And that's entirely, that makes sense and it's understandable. So, yeah.
Yeah. The takeaway is that potentially with COVID, I don't think this is going to happen necessarily, but you could get more support for a foreign military action right now, potentially, because people are so scared.
If you could point it at, and they tried to do that. Now, conservatives tried to do this with China, but again, it was just a way of, that was even also was cheap and fake because they weren't even really trying to do. Well, they weren't even really trying to do a military action against China. They're just trying to distract you, right? They're just really, literally, like, look over there. Like, that's all it was. And what's your problem?
I just, it just occurred to me that I'm not engaged with the show because I'm reading up on just the most useless thing I possibly could be reading up
net
on.
Net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Yeah.
I started following links to try to get an explanation for what's going on, and I just realized, oh my God.
It doesn't matter.
It's just like, this is the most useless thing to like get into.
Would you like to see a funny distraction? This made me laugh yesterday.
Oh no, he's going to put something in the chat that I can't click on, so that's going to go over here. I'll click on that.
That's the funny joke. That's the joke.
5 minutes from now. Okay, Florida mother shot during funeral for her teen son who was shot by police.
what do we call like nigger salience? Like what do we call it? What's like the psychological? No, this is probably a real psychological phenomenon among whites. Like
spectators flee after a shot was fired during a funeral service.
What happens?
His nigga name was Sincere Pierce.
What happens to white people that are like ordinarily? What happens to white people?
This is better. I understand this. Net neutrality out there. This niggas shooting each other at a funeral.
This is very unambiguous.
I'm over like here. I'm ready. I'm in.
I'm
engaged.
There's very few loose ends. That's why niggers are so fun. It's like it's always. It's God. Like
what the? Is this one taking a piss?
Yeah, that's. I mean, can you like?
Is he trying to?
Can you move us?
Like, just, oh, I. That was because the other day when it was just me.
Yeah.
I changed the size of this. Yeah. And, moving around. So you guys were stacked. Why,
we don't have to be so little.
You guys were stacked over here. Yeah, we do. We're not part of this shot. We're watching the.
No, well,
it's the appropriate place to shoot somebody, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean you're already at the graveyard.
He's like, I'll save you some time, nigga. I'll save the grave diggers some time. But it's also like
the gunfire came as guests were paying their last respects to 18-year-old, one of two teens killed November 13th by a Brevard County.
Whatever.
Is that a real?
I'm sure that it's some place called that.
Broward County, Florida, which is
in Cacao. Funeral service for another teen, 16-year-old Angelo Crooms, were held on November 21.
Crooms?
Why do they always have names like this?
Crooms.
Angelo Crooms. As the pastor finished his prayers at Riverview Memorial Gardens and Pierce's friends and loved ones placed flowers on his casket, a loud pop was heard. Single gunshot was followed by stunned silence before Pasheda Pierce yelled that she had been hit. Mourners were at first slow to react before realizing what had occurred. The crowd of about 50 people panicked and left the cemetery as friends and family of Quasheda Pierce attended to her injury. She was helped into a minivan before ambulances and EMTs arrived. The nature and severity of her injuries were not immediately known.
Was there any...
Some at the scene said she had been shot in the leg. My leg, nigga! Oh, God, my leg!
Sorry. But like...
Wait,
were there any other shots?
This is one shot.
This is one. It was probably some nigger.
Say, hey, man, nice shot.
Probably some nigger like had a gun at the funeral and just like went off accidentally. Just
no, they shot her in the leg. It was like a nigger sniper. I was trying to take care of the kid.
I wouldn't necessarily assume that. I wouldn't necessarily assume.
Oh, no, here you go.
Just a shot. Was an accidental discharge from a gun carried by a 16-year-old.
I told you. Like, see? I was right.
You know, when niggers shoot each other, how come we don't get, like, a gun control fucking, like, massive push? These are just treated as...
Well, there's because, again, here's the thing.
I just want to throw that out there. It's like, why can't
I'll tell you.
Are we going to have a massive conspiracy theory about how this shooting was fake and it was just used to, like, control guns?
No, because everyone knows that it wasn't fake because everyone knows it was just dumb niggers.
Thank you.
You know how they talked about the problem with, like, white kids carrying guns and stuff like this comes up like Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, being too young to have that gun, but no, niggers wasn't. Just start carrying guns and they're like 12.
Hey, looks to me like Kyle Rittenhouse was handling that implement quite competently.
Again, everything with
age niggers, notwithstanding,
everything is straightforward, so it's very easy to sometimes you don't have to untangle like very complicated webs. They don't talk about nigger shit because they don't want you to
untangle
racist.
Very complicated weaves.
Oh, well, those are very complicated. Those are very complicated. Well, so the reason they don't talk about it is because they don't want white people to become racist. Straight up. Like, if nigger violence was made clear every day on the news, if there were stories where they were clearly saying who was doing this and what they were doing, and to make a gun control push out of black violence, they'll use, like, stats, but they won't tell you. They won't give clarity, racial clarity on those.
That's what's always been so weird to me. Is like your local news in Chicago, New York City. Like I know, I grew up with New York City is what was the closest. Like you know, that was the news broadcast. The local news we got was New York City, and they were not shy about these niggers were shooting people, but there was never a gun control push along with it. That's what always struck me. It's like, why don't they just what kind of gun does a 16-year-old have? Was he carrying around a big old long gun?
Probably some fucking LARPy. Probably had some like LARPy handgun.
I'm sure he has like a pistol. Like, can you get a pistol license in Florida at 16?
No.
I mean, is this he's black? Maybe, so he's probably already a felon of some. Oh, okay. Look,
blacks just don't have legal guns either.
They were having like
Oh shit! I need to take this.
Hello? About the black kid they were burying because I guess he got into a shootout with cops. And then, you know, just magically, gunfire also tended to happen around his family all the time, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. Gunfire just follows me around wherever I go.
Well, here's a concept I want to explore for a second. Nigger salience. Like, white people, when they react to blacks, when the presence and behaviors of blacks become more clear and more obvious to whites and the kinds of reactions that one can expect. And I would say... Libtardism is a symptom of low nigger salience. They don't understand it. They don't see it. And gun control, you're talking about gun control pushes are never made from any one incident with blacks because they don't hype up any one incident unless a black is a victim of a white cop or white person that's not a cop. But they'll use like overall stats to make the push, but then they'll try and reduce, like they always want to reduce the nigger salience. They never want to increase.
They want to imply that the gun industry is responsible for this by circulating all these firearms in these communities.
Right. But I think one of the objectives, and this has been fairly consistent, and occasionally you also know that I think that there's a psychological thing that goes on in people's minds that just has to do with the salience of the other groups. Like other people and other groups as other groups, and that being clear in your mind. And again, it's a thing where it's not for Jews, generally speaking, they prefer that you have low other group salience, that you don't see it very much, or that you're not made aware, or that you are those that you do see, you're shamed into thinking they're just like you, or you have to act like you pretend that you think that they're just like you, or whatever. Ooh. But then occasionally Jews. Well, when they want to, again, induce out-group salience with Muslims and stuff like that in order to, again, if they want a military action. So, for the most part, Jews want to reduce white people's out-group salience, thereby protecting themselves as one of a sea of diverse peoples. But if there's like a Muslim group of Muslims or something, they need to go to war for Israel, then they'll ramp it up. And so, but only really for Muslims as the targets. With blacks, it seems that consistently the objective of Jews has been to reduce nigger salience among whites. And when nigger salience is increased, you see certain behaviors come in, like racism. Like whites, people starting to talk about these thugs, these youths, these problem behaviors. Let's get away from them. Let's crack down on them. That'd be even worse. Let's actually make the state like crack down on these behaviors because that gets very popular with whites. I mean, you get like middle-aged white guys and you get them to start talking about how the cops should just fucking start going out there and cracking skulls and they'll be fuck raw. Again, they have no power to make that happen.
Can you read the rest of the story?
Me? No. I can't read that at all.
These niggers did. Why they're dead.
Did you even get my discussion of the idea of nigger salience?
I mean, not really.
Okay. So I was kind of like behind.
I was coming back from the...
You know what salience means, right?
The bureaucrat gang. That's like that solution they put in you to help you heal?
Yes. No.
It's like salt water, right?
Sort of. Kind of.
You know... Did you see what they did?
What they do?
They were... It's actually not clear here if it was mistaken identity or not. It was thought that they were driving a stolen vehicle. Okay. The families assured that they had permission to use the vehicle. I don't know. I don't know how that shakes out. Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's very vague. Benjamin Crump is on the case. So, the sheriff's deputy... Jafet Santiago Miranda.
Oh my god.
fired multiple shots into a car when the teens didn't pull over. Now, that's not what happened. That's misleading. They had pulled into a driveway, and he was trying to stop.
That guy's white.
Jafet Santiago Miranda?
Yeah, he's white.
Right? I guess so.
He's white.
Mm. Ivy said the deputies thought the vehicle might have been stolen. To put it very softly, let's soft pedal that for as hard as we can. Let's soft pedal that as much as possible. Thought the vehicle might be stolen.
That vehicle was stolen.
The vehicle was probably stolen. Or
it was stolen.
They don't just like. Okay, but I'm just saying.
No, I don't think there's any.
You don't go, God, that vehicle might be stolen. Let's all go pull them over.
I don't think it might be.
It's just kind of like
they knew that shit was stolen.
The teens,
those niggers stole that car.
The teens' families and lawyer say they had permission to use the car and called it a case of mistaken identity. The teens' deaths captured the national interest. Well, I hadn't heard about it, but I mean, how do these shootings cut through all the competition right now?
Didn't capture my end. I mean, I didn't even hear this before.
So,
kind of wish they had made a big deal of this, so it would be even funnier this shit happened.
Sheriff Wayne Ivey released dash cam footage from the November 13th shooting. I don't know.
Sounds like
that
a black
showed
guy.
The teens pulling into a driveway after being followed by two county sheriffs. Oh, just being followed. Oh, without lights. They did follow them without lights. That's weird. I wonder what that's all about. Why did?
Because they were fucking. Because they wanted to. Because they were sneaking up on them.
Plates. Crooms, who was driving, backed out of the driveway and drove forward in the direction of a deputy, who, gun drawn, repeatedly shouted at the teen to stop the car.
And he didn't stop, and he got shot.
Ivy wrote in a Facebook post, the deputy was then forced to fire his service weapon in an attempt to stop the deadly threat of the car from crashing into him.
So they tried to run over a cop.
Yeah, because the car is not stolen. Let's just take them to word. The car is not stolen. The way that you resolve the issue of why these cops not pull me over, I didn't steal this car, is to run them over.
Yes.
Just
a black person impulse as well. Like, cop pointing gun at me, telling me to stop. I should hit the gas, obviously.
I should run him over because I didn't steal his car.
Now, here, let me just jump
in.
Let's hold on.
If I haven't committed a crime, I'm about to commit a major one.
The teen's families and Reuters contend the dash cam footage shows Crooms.
Are they Chinese now?
The teen's families and lawyers contend the dash cam footage. You won't let the punchline out.
No, that's not even how I feel.
Well, no, this is really funny. People want me to say this.
Is it as funny as...
But this is also the first time I've said it, not the third time.
Okay, good. Good.
I don't believe you.
Let's hear it.
I don't want to say it. You're going to interrupt me again.
I'm over here.
The teens, families, and lawyers contend the dash cam footage shows Crooms trying to evade the deputy, not hit him.
He was trying to get around that nigga!
I was going to say, when did the argument come out, like, why would he shoot him? If why not just jump out of the way of the car?
You know the good way to not get shot by a cop who thinks you're trying to run over the car is like hit the brakes, stop.
Well, I feel like at that point things have escalated.
Imagine the dash cam footage showed the car stopping.
Well, imagine if things had not escalated to this point.
Right. Imagine if you hadn't stolen
if you just didn't steal a car.
Imagine if Sincere Pierce had stolen that car.
Like, just don't steal a car. These are not
Antonio Crooms, where the fuck is
I mean, I feel like you do like the Chris Rock here, like, how?
I cannot.
Like, let's go back to step one here. Like, don't steal a car.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have permission to use that fucking car.
What, Alex?
The fact that this is how the Negro responds to someone pointing a gun at them and telling them to stop. They do this consistently. Somebody has a gun in uniform.
I ain't do nothing.
Lots of other cops around.
Here's my point with this. I am willing to accept that this is how black people are. I'm actually very open-minded about this. I'm more open-minded than the libtard.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the libtard will try to fit the behavior of the black teen, which is actually pretty unintelligible to most white people. Mm-hmm. Like, their thought why they would at no point stop and do a sensible thing, even if engaged in criminal activity. Like, this is the thing. You don't even judge like the criminal activity. Just think like you could do it better, but they can't. They do it a certain way, and it's always stupid. Like, dude, niggers that go out and do like drug deal motivated, like rival drug gang killings, like cut rap videos saying they're going to do it, before they do it.
Yeah.
This is like something New York City detectives have been talking about. Like, they will go out. If they're like, we're going to go hit like a rival drug gang over a turf or something like that, they like cut a rap video and upload that shit to like WhatsApp or something like that, one of these apps, and then they go do it. And then the cops are like, did you do this? Because we have you rapping about doing it. Literally. Like, it's not even just like...
Does the other gang not see the video? Do they not know that it's coming?
I think the video drops after they do it.
Oh, it drops. Okay.
I mean, or like, I don't know. I don't know.
It's like the warning?
Yeah. I think maybe they're clever. I don't know exactly what the order is. Do they release before or after the shooting? I think a lot of times maybe they do it after. Or after they do it, they go and rap about it.
Imagine if niggers' preferred form of music was like power metal. And you just got this like symphonic, fast, like operatic song about how we're coming to take your territory because the drug deals.
Like someone's doing like real complicated tapping techniques and shit.
And it's like
those real, like, yeah, those arpeggio tapping.
And like crazy backup vocals and keyboard shit.
Yeah.
And they were just like...
Yeah, it'd have to be that real highfalutin type stuff.
Like, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Imagine that would make like... I don't know. This culture would be a lot cooler if it was like power metal.
It would kind of make things a little more.
It was like less Dr. Dre, more Dragon Force.
Yes,
it'd be pretty awesome. I'd be down with that kind of niggerishness.
But of course, like, it's very easy to do a rap song, so it's like, all right, you don't need to develop talent. Like, once you develop that level of talent to do with power metal ballads, like, you don't want to just waste that by getting involved in gang turf wars. And, like,
I guess not.
But again, so here's my thing. So, the libtard, it's unintelligible, yet the libtard tries to explain it in a way, like, you read how they talk about, it's really funny reading, like, the journalists write about these stories, and you can see the behaviors, but the way they talk about it is if this could just happen to anybody. They always try and paint it that way, as if this could, this is day-to-day, like, this could happen to anybody. Here's how this black person's behaviors and reactions and just fundamental everything he was doing was actually just sort of normal, and he was just this victim of circumstance. But it's not. It's like impossibly. It's impossible for you to even imagine yourself ever being in this position, because you just, even the white people that are doing crimes, like, are doing them not in this dumbass way. So my thing is, like, I'm actually much more open minded because I understand that. I can't understand black people. I can't fit this behavior pattern and this thought process into something intelligible.
Well, it's not a thought process.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, let's not split every hair into 16 parts here. I'm talking about
we have 3 hours to fill.
Here's the video. We can play this in the back.
Do we have the dash cam? Lovely. Dash cam video here. Is that what was over your head for a moment there?
But I want kind of people to get what I'm saying here. Like, I accept that blacks, as you said, it's a recurring behavior that blacks seem to think that they can fight a cop. So I'm like, I'm actually willing to let blacks live like that. Like, I think blacks can live, like, in a way such that they fight cops. But they just can't do that with white people.
Stop the vehicle! Stop the vehicle! Stop the vehicle!
That is window down.
10:33.
Oh.
Stop the vehicle!
Okay. Why is that over the fucking thing?
Be really great.
Why is that in the way of the fucking video?
Be really fucking
Jesus
good.
Is because that's where like all the shit happens? Why is that there?
No, it's because it's fucking stupid YouTube. Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable.
Be really fucking great.
That's where the entire shooting happens!
I saw the other version of this. Basically, the car swerves directly at the cop. Like, he's aiming for the cop.
Yeah,
very obvious.
What the fuck? Can we, like, not have that happen?
Stop the vehicle!
It's there! Why is that there? What the fuck is that?
It's like the preview for, like, the
I know
video.
What it is, but why is it there? I don't want it there! Holy fucking shit!
No, I completely agree with you, like... Is there a way? There's no way to no, turn
the
it
person,
off.
The person who made the video put that card there. It's called a card.
Yeah.
You can't fucking make that go. Do you have another video of it, Alex? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, let's try it. Maybe he has
Holy shit, they put the card in front of what happens.
They did that on purpose, I'm guessing.
Oh, good. Here's one of the wrong aspect ratio.
All right, well, Let's just.
Where can we put it? It's nice. Like,
let's just work with it.
I live in stretched out land. Oh, this is a different car. All
right. No, it's the same. It's the same video. See, right here. Right here.
As much as humanly possible.
Jaffet.
It's fine.
This fucking nigger.
I'm happy to watch it stretched
like,
out.
This fucking, like, this sheriff's deputy, he's from Star Wars or something. His name is Jaffet.
Jaffet, yeah. What like, race?
He's from Alderaan.
Was. Yeah.
Or maybe, what's that other? What's the desert one? Not Arrakis. That's Dune.
So these niggers pull into someone's driveway to turn around.
They turn around into the it's like, you know, guys, like, give it up. Like, plus, you're, like, teenagers? So you're not going to get any real trouble?
So she's got her gun out. Other officer has his gun out.
Stop the vehicle.
Both cop cars are stopped.
Stop the vehicle. Stop.
All right, it stopped. Now what? Nope, it's not stopped.
He's going to back up.
Stop.
He's going to take aim.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Dude, he was going right for it.
He's totally trying to evade him. I love how the parents.
And that wasn't a white cop either. That guy, whatever, Jaffet Santiago is definitely some brown person.
Boba Jaffet.
Yeah. Boba Jaffet.
That's what he looks like.
Look, let's be honest. That name, he's some kind of
maybe he's Cuban. I don't know.
Yeah, he just looks like a Cuban to me.
Close enough. I just,
well, whatever. It's not really. That's not really.
Has this story taken the country by storm? I mean, no. Like, are these going to fizzle out now that Joe Biden is in charge?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need these for anything right now.
I like this headline. No point for this. Executed this cop. I mean, he executed this teen for driving past him.
So what?
The black team is just driving past him and just executes him for no reason.
But, like, again, these incidents are all the same. Like, it's always, like, cop was pretty, like, there's, like, the cop is always justified in what they've done.
Yeah.
And blacks always come up with, blacks and their advocates and the Jew press always comes up with retarded, stupid excuses. Like I said, I think the analysis of nigger salience and the attempts and like the desire of the Jewish press to basically reduce nigger salience is a huge breakthrough of how we can talk about this.
Is this a different incident?
Nigger salience creates in group orientation among whites, and that's why Jews always want to make sure you don't develop nigger salience, because you see how blacks behave, and you know that's, I'm not like them; they're different than me. But you have to see it. And you have to either experience it yourself or see it through other means to understand what it's like. I mean, when you see blacks, when you deal with them in reality, it hits you right in the face. Like, the nigger salience is live, even when they're not doing anything necessarily bad. You just see it. You just know. Like, yeah, going to a restaurant where there's a huge like group of blacks eating, the nigger salience hits you right in the face. You know, like, yeah, those people are not like us. They have a different set of norms and behaviors and a different way of...
When you watch videos like this, it becomes abundantly clear. These people cannot follow just the most basic and obvious norms of society. Right. Like, the societal norm that you listen to somebody in a uniform pointing a gun at you, because if you don't, your life will quickly come to an end.
What do they think the gun is out for? Well, if the gun's pointed at you, pal, what do you think that thing is
but
for?
But again, remember, we've talked about how blacks always seem to think that if they defeat the one cop, they can get away, even if you do. Because there have been times when blacks have killed cops. It doesn't mean they don't get away with it.
Right. It's just...
Ultimately, you have to understand, the police aren't just the one cop. That's the thing I think blacks have a hard time with.
Right.
It's not just the one cop. It's not like a duel. It's not like a standoff. It's not like combat.
You get away now. You win.
It's like this guy's a representative of an entire system.
He's not the final boss.
Yeah, no. And there will be more guys coming at you, and you will not ultimately win that fight. White people are very cognizant of this, of that this guy is a representative of a system. It's not just him. You can't just beat him and get away. Niggers don't quite get that. But I'm saying, like, I accept that this is who they are. I don't want to change them. I can't change them. Even if I wanted to, it doesn't matter. Just like you can't make a penguin gay by saying he is.
I don't want to share space with these people.
I just don't feel...
Follow the fucking rules.
Yes. I don't feel that it is just. I think if you think it's unjust... Now, here's the real thing. If you think it's unjust to make blacks, put them in a situation where they have no choice but to follow norms that have essentially been set down by whites, I'll agree with you. I agree. But it's equally unjust to do the opposite. You can't take away from white people their norms and expectations for decent behavior and how authority enforces it. It's unfair to whites to remove it because it makes white people feel very uncomfortable and not understanding what's going on. And that's not right to do. So The answer to this is very elegant and simple. Blacks can live as they want, and whites can live as they want. And that is the best way it should be. And that's how typically how these things have been worked out in the past. And the only group that doesn't want that really is Jews. The only group that doesn't want that is Jews. Fundamentally speaking. Because even whites that say they want it don't want it. They just want blacks to act like white people. They want to be surrounded by Blagacs. They want Blagac. They want the guy who lives next door to them to have all their same views, behaviors, and preferences except brown skin and big fat lips and a wide nose. And then, oh, look at this. Blagac. He's just like me, but black and gay. But I'm also gay too. So just like me, but black.
Star Trek black.
Yeah, Star Trek black. That's what it is. I accept blacks where they are. I understand who they are. I accept it. And I'm willing to let them live as they see fit. I have no desire to impose anything on them. In fact, you know what you'll find universally? Almost all racists are just like, can we just actually have the freedom to not have to deal with these people? That's all it comes down to. There's this idea that there's a certain amount of malice or desire to harm and destroy and kill. No, you won't find that. You simply won't find it. But there are people that say it isn't fair to force us to abandon all the social norms that we have because of these people can't behave according to them. That is not fair. That is not fair. So.
No, I'm totally cool with them doing their nigger shit in Africa or somewhere.
Look, if
some,
you want to,
not near me.
If blacks want to have a system whereby if you steal a car and a cop challenges you and you defeat that cop in single combat, you get to keep the car. Go ahead. That's great. I actually think that's going to make a good TV show. We could watch from afar. We could watch that from afar, you know. But, yeah. Like, I actually think that would make, to them, that makes sense.
That's
well, I took that car. You can't. Oh, yeah, nigga? Fight me. Okay.
That's too much even for libtards. Like, the libtard system would be like, well, if they took it, it's just theirs now.
Well, the libtards, yeah.
Libtards are like, they just don't do crimes.
Right, libtards is just
it's like whatever they do is just
the behavior. Black behavior is just non-criminal fundamentally. But again, with libtards, it's a desire. It's an understanding that like the preferred social behavior is that of displaying low or zero outgroup salience, right? And that's why you'll notice like libtards are perfectly aware of outgroup salience. They're perfectly aware of the idea of the awareness of the other and the seeing of the other. And so what do libtards do? Whenever a white person, oh gosh, look, my uncle at Thanksgiving, this is another context which always comes out. He said that blacks are thuggish teens that are always committing crimes and stealing cars and getting involved with cops and they deserve what's coming to them. It's like, okay, so your racist uncle at Thanksgiving has accurately described the social phenomena that he's observed. And your point is, you don't have an argument against it. Your only point is, hey, racist uncle, you're showing a low status social belief where you're essentially describing an outgroup as being an outgroup. Me, I'm the smart libtard. I understand what the preferred behavior, as put down by Jew masters, are. I've picked up the messaging. I've picked up the messaging from the media, from schools, from movies, from education, and I know that the preferred social behavior is to display low outgroup salience or no outgroup salience. Pretend as if I don't see differences between people. Until, of course, I'm supposed to see differences between people because they'll also just get you coming the other way too. But you know that for sure, your old racist uncle, there at the Thanksgiving table talking about black people doing crimes, whew, boy, that's not that he's describing something that's not real. It's not that he's making a mistake. He's only making a mistake in your mind because you're saying this is a wow, racist unk. These proclamations you're making about observable reality sure are going to increase your social precarity. What a dumbass you are. Why would you do this? Why on earth would you display high outgroup salience and therefore increase your own precarity? You're liking these technical terms we use for this. It's good. I'm enjoying these. This is going to make libtards think we're more profound than we are in talking about this. Like, look, these guys have all these Wow, these guys have really sophisticated sounding terms for...
Well, when we use terms like precarity, it's like actually one of their types of terms that they, at one point in history, might have even used.
So as is like out-of-group salience and things like this. But it's like my... It's instead of saying my racist uncle, you say, I have this uncle who displays high out-group salience, and he's so dumb he increases his social precarity by doing so. Look at what a moron. Am I the only one that finds that funny? I guess so.
High out-group salience.
You fucking idiot. You're so stupid you show high out-group salience, you fucking moron. Don't you know you're supposed to pretend like niggas are white?
Why do people keep making me mad?
The Jacobin that's what talks you do. About precarity all the time.
You get mad. That's what you do.
Jacobin
loves precarity.
What I do is I get bureaucrat ganged.
Without precarity, like, how can they destroy the lives of white
nationalists? I just told everybody how happy I was with the Christmas season, and then bureaucrat gang was like, oh, were you? You were having a...
Did you want to talk about net neutrality? Or is that just like...
I still don't know what it is. Fuck?
I don't know what
net
it is.
Net neutrality, according to Twitter, according to this Agitpi, like, resigning thread. Net neutrality means they don't got to pay their bills for the internet no more.
Net neutrality just means, like, it means whatever you... It means I get free Netflix or something.
It means net neutrality means that you're not going to get charged for bandwidth usage anymore.
That's what they seem to
think. That's what they seem to think, that, like, billing... That, like, streaming video... Like, it's not like, I don't know. It's very hard to, like, they're all...
Okay, it's starting to come back to me. Okay, I think what net neutrality was...
Net neutrality was like, okay, one of the memes I understood was like, okay, you get the internet through the cable company. If you cancel your cable and you just watch a lot of video content on the internet, they'll throttle video content to your... Because you're over...
This was the idea. Okay, so the idea
but
was
But these
that,
people seem to think that, like, oh, no... Now that they're instituting data caps and charging extra for excessive data, that they won't be allowed to do that. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, a data provider could charge you for data.
So the issue was...
Not arguing whether this is right or wrong, but, like, I don't think you're going to get free internet.
I remember what it is now. I remember what it is in terms of the actual technical debate here. Net neutrality was the idea that ISPs couldn't pick and choose traffic.
Okay.
That traffic first come, first serve basis is how all traffic has to be served. So... If a lot of people are requesting Netflix and Netflix takes up like 40% of bandwidth on the internet or something like that, then it has to just be served. You can't say, okay, we've done enough serving of Netflix for the time being, so we're gonna throttle Netflix traffic and instead serve up this other kind of traffic. Like ISPs, internet service providers, can't do preference of traffic.
Okay.
And they can't throttle certain traffic because it eats bandwidth. Like they can't say, oh, Netflix is eating... all our bandwidth, and then the idea was, well, since ISPs often are also cable companies, they would throttle competitor companies that were offering cable-like services,
yes,
like Netflix, etc.
Yeah.
This was the idea. It doesn't mean that Netflix doesn't get to charge you more for like HD streaming, because they definitely
do. Someone posted the picture in here.
They do. Yeah.
There's an image of here of the three different levels of subscription that Netflix offers.
That's not violating.
One was 480p service for like $8.99. There's a 1080p service for $13.99 and a 4K service for $17.99. Yeah. That'll be the end of this or some shit. It's like, no, it won't.
Because Netflix always gets to do, because Netflix is the originator of that service, so they can charge you whatever they want for it. The issue is that there can't be a middleman that picks and chooses. They can't say like, okay,
I guess like your ISP can't throttle that your 1080p down to 480p because fuck you.
Your ISP is bound to serve the traffic you request on a first come first serve basis.
There's a lot of people here that seem to have a lot of issues. Like, what are these people doing with their internet? I've never run into these billing issues with my internet.
The fact is that in reality, net neutrality had zero effect on the average internet user. None. It was an argument between monopolistic. Two different kinds of monopolies that were fighting it out over this issue.
Is net neutrality
basically the Netflix type services wanted the subsidy of the cable companies, and the cable companies were saying, we don't want to subsidize this product that's competing with our other business, and they fought that out, and the public had basically zero stake in it.
I like these people that, like, listen to this one. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. This incompetent nut job did a whole lot of damage.
But like what?
You don't, like, this person has no idea what he did.
None. The best thing to do.
Rainbow Avatar Amy Siskind.
I mean, I'm
activist feminist.
God! Well, here, I'll just tell you what you want to have more fun with lift pods. Like, here's the thing, without getting in trouble, without revealing that you have high out-group salience or, in other words, racism, or without revealing that you have any bad thoughts, liftards that you see like at your office or at your job or that you know like in your neighborhood or whatever, your family. Here's how you really stump a liftard. Ask them for anything specific. I remember when I was a liftard, I would make all these kind of pronouncements, and I was always like so like actually very nervous that somebody would at some point ask me for some kind of specific. Like, it was more like liftardism is based on like a personal opinion of certain people. Because they're Republicans, because they're conservative, I have a negative opinion of them as people, but I can't. I want to pretend like I know, but I don't know. You don't know. These people don't know anything. What did Ajit Pai do that you don't like? Give me three things. Make the bar high, too, because they're supposed to be smart people. Three things. What three things Ajit Pai did that you don't like? Tell me, liptards. I can tell you things Ajit Pai didn't do that I don't like, things that he said he would do. Remember when he was
nothing good has happened to the internet in the last 3 years.
Remember when he was writing those letters? He would literally write a letter, like he put it on the FCC homepage, like, we are looking into viewpoint censorship on social media. We are going to take steps. And they never did anything. That's my criticism of Ajit Pai. You said you were going to do something about viewpoint censorship on social media monopolies, and you didn't do anything. You didn't do a damn thing. You didn't even raise the issue, frankly. And it was literally, you wrote that article because people were mad, and you just, that's it. And once you deflected that bullet, you just kept going on and doing whatever the fuck you wanted. So here's the other thing. I want to make sure everyone understands this. There is never, under the current system, even with someone like Donald Trump, who was an outlier of a presidency, you are not going to ever see a radical shift in policy in any department ever. Something like the FCC is going to do what the FCC is going to do. The FCC's direction and actions are determined by different communication monopolies fighting it out amongst themselves, and one of them winning or them coming to a compromise or whatever they're doing. But like Netflix and the cable companies will fight it out over this issue, and they'll reach a decision. And then that'll be what the FCC does. And you have zero impact on that.
They want to reclassify broadband as a public utility.
Good. Fine. I'm for that.
I don't know. I don't know what that entails.
Well, that's the thing. That's good language, but what does that mean? What do you want to do with that?
Does that mean you get like a bunch of taxes like on your phone bill now? Are there already taxes?
Does that mean that I can always? Does that mean I get a Twitter account and a credit card account?
No, what are you, crazy? This means you get access to the web.
But I already get that.
You already get access to the web. You don't get access to like actually do shit with it.
Why can't we? Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I mean, reclassify credit card processing as a public utility. That would be good.
Yeah, banking. How about classify the right to bank?
Twitter.
How about the right
Twitter
right
is a public utility. Do that.
How about the right to speak and the right to participate in the economy? No. I mean, we're supposed to be all about economics, right? No. All about markets. No, market. How about the right to be a player
in the market? The market says you don't get any of those things.
Why?
Oh, because, is that the most efficient outcome? The market is entirely run by people with the opposite view of that.
Right.
Because of monopolies.
Oh, because people use their money and power to impose a social view on people. Oh, wow. Exactly what conservatives say they won't do and shouldn't do. Amazing. Mm. They won't do that if it doesn't make them any money. Huh. Okay. What if you make a lot of money by like completely and totally suppressing your enemies? Did you ever think of that, conservatard?
Did you ever think about actually trying to win, conservatard?
Did you ever think about doing anything other than constructing a false way that you think the universe works, and like just saying that that's how it works, and then like continuing about your life as everything around you disproves that? Do you ever think about doing anything other than that? No. You see, you don't get it. Liptards are wrong because the market works like this. Meanwhile, like I go happily whistling down the street as liptards take over literally everything by completely ignoring this. This really is amazing. It's so funny because the most vocal like in your face. Things are like, here's how things are, you little snowflake type boomer conservative is like the most clueless as to how things are actually working. Like that snowflake is actually the one that tells you what to do. At the end of the day, that snowflake will be in a position of authority over you and telling you what to do, and you'll do it. You'll fucking do it. As you wear your shirt that says, like, 10 rules about life for libtards.
What does this mean? Somewhat lost in all this electric madness is that Ajit Pai, the piece of garbage FCC chairman that tried to destroy net neutrality, will be stepping down on January 20th. Goodbye, asshole. May you spend the rest of your life listening to AOL dial-up noises.
Who's that? Who wrote this?
I don't know. Some comedian. But it's just like,
I want to know his name.
Steve comedian. Hofstetter.
Hofstetter? Oh, is he Jewish?
Oh, no. I'm just...
Richard Hofstetter was Jewish.
I'm just... Like, what is the... I don't understand, like, how you get this much emotion.
You know, it's over literally... This, like,
it's so weird.
Libtards love to pretend that they know something. And they love to like, attack anybody who was involved. Like, again, it's all personal. But they can't... Again, what did he do? Ask Steve Hofstetter. He doesn't know.
Ooh, here's Kurt Libertarian. Ooh, oh, I love his name. His name is at Checkmate State.
Hmm.
Hmm. 2017, FCC announced considering the ending net neutrality. 2017, Dems hysterically claimed internet would end. 2017, FCC did it anyway. 2018, nothing bad happened as a result. 2019, same. 2020, LOL, same. 2021, Dems will reinstate net neutrality and claim they saved the internet. Not wrong, I guess.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
Finally, we can get someone with actual qualifications who can bring back net neutrality. Since COVID really stopped their plans to gut the internet, and look at this meme. TikTok motherfucker.
That seems
What does this person think was happening? They were going to kill the internet? Was the Donald Trump administration going to destroy the internet?
Wow, this Steve Hofstetter is a
hold
particularly
up. They were going to destroy the internet, but the COVID-19 crisis thwarted their plans for it.
Yeah, I think this guy's Jewish.
What the fuck? No, we're on to this one now. Forget that guy. That guy is just a comedian. Do you see this?
A Jew.
Do you hear this one? Yeah, okay. Stop looking at that one. We're on this one now. You see this one?
Yes, I see that. Yes.
Jeremy Williams.
How are they going to gut the internet?
I don't know. Work? COVID-19 stopped them from gutting? Like, can't you work on the internet? Can you gut the internet remotely?
Well, I mean, I'm very curious what you think happened here. Like,
the internet's already kind of gutted in a way.
I don't even want to fight this. What I want to do is when I see that stuff, can you explain in detail what the fuck
I would love
you
to get this guy.
About?
Like, can you call into my show right now, Jeremy Williams?
Just tell me exactly in detail from you start at the very beginning.
He's got his badass snakeskin mask on in his picture.
This guy's definitely
got sweet long curly hair. Looking some good boomer rock stuff going on here.
Gut the internet. What does that mean, though?
I don't know. Oh, he's got a hashtag Melania hates Christmas. That's a new one. Even the Grinch had a redemptive arc and learned the spirit of Christmas. You can't say the same about the Trumps.
But the Grinch is a Jew.
And Trump's kids are Jews.
Yeah, so there you go. But see, the Grinch is like a hopeful fable. It's like a false hope, much like Scrooge, that the Jew can become like a decent person. It's like written like, here, Jews, here's a way you can stop being so shitty. Oh, by the way, Steve Hofstetter, a Jewish, definitely Jewish from New York City. I don't know if he's any relation to Richard Hofstetter. Also a Jew from New York City.
I don't... Oh, well. I guess it's not worth thinking about.
No. I'm not, like, mad
net
about
neutrality,
it. I'm just, like, I
net
want
Net neutrality
them.
Sucks ass, dude. That's a response someone put in there.
That could be, like, some kind of meta-irony. Like, somebody who's, like, kind of... making fun of the whole...
It ended 3 years ago and literally nothing happened. All you annoying Reddit people cried 24/7 and nothing changed.
I mean, okay, that guy seems to be on to at least some amount of...
But Comcast is bringing in it. See, thanks Trump, thanks EdgetPie, thanks everyone who thought limiting net neutrality wasn't a big deal, and it links to a story. Comcast is introducing data cap in Northeast states. Being in January, Comcast will introduce its 1.2 terabyte data cap on Xfinity internet plans, including those in states where Comcast previously not... Okay, what does it have to do with net neutrality?
Maybe you people shouldn't be consuming 1.2 terabytes of Xfinity content.
Well, this is not the issue here. No, net neutrality has nothing to say on that.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
If we're going to talk about... That's exactly what it's about?
Yeah.
Bandwidth?
It's about Comcast putting a limit on another service. The carrier, Comcast, the ISP, is saying Xfinity plan. Like, you're using Xfinity services over the internet... We're going to limit the amount of data you can use for Xfinity.
Isn't Xfinity that's exactly Comcast, what net neutrality is about. Isn't Comcast and Xfinity the same company?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that Comcast runs Xfinity. And that's just what their internet service is called.
I don't think so. But I'm not... But
like, again, I don't think you get Comcast internet. I think you call Comcast and you get Xfinity. Like, that's
there's
the name
a lot
of
people who get Comcast the name of their internet. Now, Xfinity is a suite of other services.
So...
Let's leave that aside. The point being that the idea behind net neutrality is that the ISP doesn't get to pick and choose the services that it serves data to. So if Comcast was saying, we're limiting the bandwidth we will provide for this service to 1.2 terabytes, then that is actually something that net neutrality does speak to. However, I don't give a shit. I'm curious about what sort of person wants to consume 1.2 terabytes of Xfinity in any case.
How much internet do you consume?
Well, a lot, but it's not Xfinity. Are you saying Xfinity is just the internet service?
Yes! I mean,
fine! If so, then fine.
Xfinity is like...
But what if it was something different? What if it was like content?
It's all internet! They're saying that, like, you can't use more than 1.2 terabytes per month of internet.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. They're saying, we're charging you this much for internet. If you use more than that much data, you're going to get an extra $10 charge per 50 gigabyte block we give you after that. I'm pretty sure Xfinity and Comcast are the same company. They're not saying, like, if you go to Xfinity.com. They're saying if you use the internet, that's all you get. And I don't think net neutrality has anything to do with that. They're just billing you for data now.
Maybe net neutrality would tell them they're not allowed to do that.
I don't think that they're trying to do anything. I don't think there's anything on the table that says ISPs can't charge you extra for data. And that's going to be a problem.
No, there is. Yeah, you're right. There's not.
There's not. And that's going to continue. EdgetPie didn't do that. Evil Jewish capitalists are going to do this to you. That they, like, first they charged you for minutes. Then the trend was to charge you, it's unlimited data. And then they went, holy shit, this data. People are using a lot of data. Guess we better get on this and start billing you for it. I don't know what the answer is. I don't even know if data is data even expensive to transfer, or they just want to. There's just.
Oh, they've been doing this for a while.
We want to bill you for stuff. Only about 5% of customers use more than 1.2 terabytes of data in a month. With that limit, the company says users can video conference for 3,500 hours, watch 1,200 hours of distance learning videos, stream 500 hours of high definition video content per month, or play more than 34,000 hours of online games.
How many hours of high-definition video streaming?
500.
I mean, how many hours are in a month?
Oh.
More than
500.
Yeah. Wow.
But this has nothing to do with neutrality, that's my point. Like, the guy who tweeted this, Weatheroni Mascanto, the internet's busiest music nerd, also a thick vegan, anti-war,
dude,
amateur humorist, Melon, best teeth in the game.
They used to do 250 gigabytes.
Wait, is this? Oh my god, that's Anthony Fantano.
Oh yeah.
That's Weatheroni Mascanto. So Anthony Fantano doesn't know what net neutrality is.
No.
Wow, guy's supposed to be smart.
I've seen no evidence he's smart.
Huh?
I've seen no evidence that he is smart.
Well, he's like Mr. like discerning music man. Does like intelligent
reviews.
Yeah,
like reviews like rap albums and shit, and like pretend and smart. And he's like, let me apply like.
I'm upset.
Like, let me apply like low music genre salience and like criticize a rap album.
He's got like something real. He's got like cable bill salience now.
These people have very low net neutrality salience. Like they don't understand the difference between net neutrality and non-net neutrality. Like, I'm just using that word for now. This is funny.
Oh my god. Someone here has a big long thread that I can't even find the beginning.
Dude,
of.
You open Twitter, and I swear to God, it's like we just do a show on whatever annoys you on Twitter for like
that's just fucking that day. Give me content right there.
It's very
whatever's easy. Trending is like, all right, what retarded shit does the internet say everyone's thinking about today, or else? Like, if you're not thinking about these things,
has no one done the bit? They probably haven't because it could be construed as racist. Like, hey, a jit pie, more like a shit pie. Like, I don't think a libtard could do that because it's like, hey, now, hey. Let's not make fun of this guy's foreign name.
No, that's we were talking about this a while back about how the left has to use like all of these ridiculous words like chud because they can't say faggot.
They had to invent all these new insults that don't mean anything. Like they're calling people jabronis and stuff. I'm like, dude, fuck off, fag.
It's like, my insults have to be PG rated.
No, you literally can't say anything offensive. So, therefore, like, wow, you literally can't insult other people. Like, calling somebody a chud, it just makes you sound like a fag when you say that.
Yeah.
Am I actually
offended by being called a chud? Maybe I like being a chud. Chud life.
No, I just... Chud life. Yeah, I just consider you... Like, I consider you to be, like, a weak loser if you use that word. Because it means to me that you give credence to... language codes that I think are for fucking faggots. You think they're important. Therefore, like, you're automatically weaker. Like, you have to be weak. Because you care about that shit. It's like, literally, my ideology revolves around, or at least part of it revolves around not, like, supposedly not saying, it's not even not offending anyone. It's not saying anything that someone could construe as offensive and gain a power relation over you. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like
nobody's really offended. I mean, the amount of times people are actually offended is very low. And you have to do, like, to offend someone, you have to really kind of go, like, show them just, like, really disgusting, like, awful, like, really terrible things. Like, offensive. Like, is someone really offended? What does that even mean? Being offended is, I mean, this is an old critique, but it's just a power play. It's true. And these people know that. But it's like, if I call these alt-right guys, like, I don't know, any other insult has, like, can be, you know, there'd always be some tutter to come in. Like, I can be construed as this or that or whatever.
Yeah. Ableist. Yeah, because that's the thing. You can't call them a retard.
Oh, you can't call, even calling somebody stupid. Even calling someone stupid is like, well, are you suggesting that there are like cognitive differences in people and that those with lower cognitive ability are less worthy? Is there something bad about being stupid? You seem to be implying that it's bad to have lower cognitive ability.
If you're stupid, that just means you might not be in favor of net neutrality or you didn't vote for Joe Biden or you don't wear your mask.
Or you might have low outgroup, you might have high outgroup salience.
And writing columns for Steve Salience. The Salience strategy.
Steve Salience. Show title. That's the show title.
God. I'm just I can't wait for the show to be over so I can No, I just have like two really painful phone calls I have to make now.
I hate doing that stuff.
I'm so fucking. It just had to get notification during the show. Oh, by the way, let's hang this over your head while you're.
Is it possible at all for these people to just wait to call you till like 3 o'clock? It's just not possible.
One of the notifications I received was via email, and I did tell them like call me at 3 o'clock,
and they just called you right away.
And they basically told me, oh, actually, we don't need to call you because fuck you. So now I have to call them. Like, oh.
Okay.
So we're going to slug this out a little bit longer, are we?
Yeah.
Instead of just like, you do your thing and you realize, oh, okay. It's like, no, we'll slug it out.
Okay. Well, I'm done.
Yeah.
I had stuff on the Iranian scientist guy.
Oh, yeah. Can do a, well, I think he died or something.
Well, I just wanted to say this. I'll just do this very quickly.
So the point you made before the show when you mentioned it, you're like, yeah, you should just say that because that is really funny.
That basic, what about Max Boot?
Well, no, he was the end, he was like the extension of it. But when you said that in the press, when Iran reacts as though they've been attacked by Israel, press acts like they're crazy.
Yeah, they talk about them like they're insane, but then at the same time, every pundit talks as if it's pre-assumed that
Israel
or the U.S. or a combination thereof.
And Iran, you need to just chill for a minute.
Yeah, well, that was what Brennan comes out and he says to Iran.
Please, just wait till...
Just don't react, because this was just the last move of a terrible group. And like, wait for the smart people to come in charge and then we'll work it all out. And it's like, wow, what a way for Jews to have it both ways. You get the dead scientist, you get like the blow to Iran, and you get to say, no, we didn't really do it. It's not our fault. But I'm like, there's no reason why Iran should treat a different U.S. administration as if there's anything different, because there's not. And Antony Blinken, who's going to be the next Secretary of State, has already even said, like, yeah, nothing is going to change about foreign policy in Israel. He basically said, I want to keep sanctions on Iran. We're not going to tie aid to Israel to them not annexing Palestinian territories. We're not going to tie it to like giving back to Dolan Heights or anything. None of that. So it basically said aid to Israel is unquestionable. It's like no matter what Israel does, they get aid, and we're going to keep doing everything. So basically it's the same thing. They're just going to do the same thing. So there's no reason for Iran to treat this new administration ain't different. One thing that might happen is they might go back to some kind of nuclear agreement with Iran. But I was reading this Max Boot article in the Washington Post where he was supported targeting killings of Iranians. And get this. His argument is targeted killings of scientists, as they call them, state murder, which is illegal. It's actually illegal in the United States to do a hit on a citizen of another country. It's totally illegal. So if the United States is doing this, it's illegal behavior. But he's saying, no, this was great. And he's saying, you know, when under Obama, this is what brought the Iranians to the table for the nuclear deal. And now the nuclear deal has been thrown out. We do another one, and that will create more incentive for these Iranians to come.
So murder's good. Is it in the service of extortion?
Yeah, he's basically saying, like, we can avoid war by doing assassinations.
By murder and extortion.
Yeah, he's like, isn't it great? It's like, well, my thing is, why do we need to do either?
It's like, we're not just assassinating the guy to stop the nuclear program. We're assassinating the guy to stop the nuclear program and bring and extort these people into coming to deal with us.
Right.
Under the threat that we're going to kill more of your people.
Yeah, that's essentially the idea. And it's also like, we're also doing it to retard the program by making it feel like anyone who is a scientist in Iran will be like, yeah, I'm not touching anything I'm going to do with nuclear energy, because if I do, then I'll die. But the IAEA... the International Atomic Energy is unanimous in their statements. If you go and look at their reports for like the past 12 years, they're like, yeah, the Iranians are not like making a weapon. They're just not.
Okay.
And so the United States that just doesn't exist. They just pretend like it doesn't exist. Or you'll get some...
These people are just anti-Israel and they're covering for
them. Yeah, you'll get some deep conservative media. Most media won't even talk about it, but you'll get things like Jewsmax and that kind of stuff that just... pretends like their enemy,
Jews
like
Max
the IAEA itself is like some kind of enemy entity.
Jews Max.
My thing is this, like, you know, conservatives, if there are conservatives out there clapping like retarded seals for this, like, what do you get? It's just like these libtards with net neutrality and a jit pie. You need to explain to me, conservative, what you get.
They get to be the fans of the people that blew something up.
Yeah, that's it. You get a small amount of out-group salience. You get a brief window of out-group salience. And that's literally what it is, too.
God, you're right.
You get a small piece of tolerated and allowed Jewish sanctioned out-group salience. That's what you get. That's all you get. That's what you get out of being happy that some fucking scientist in another country got blown away for no reason. Well, for a reason, but you know, it doesn't benefit you in any single way. Your tribe, the tribe, the white tribe in America is not in any way benefited. In fact, I'll just leave it there. There's certain people that you could be benefit from them, shall we say, going away.
All right.
But yeah.
Well, speaking of going away.
Yeah.
Hey. That is the best McNabb Segue that ever happened. It wasn't awkward. It didn't jolt me at all.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't win. Unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.